We have a minute of silence. May his departed soul rest in peace, and may those who have remained behind be strengthened by the guidance and the support of the Holy Spirit and their God, whoever God they serve. You may now continue with the introduction of the team before the Deputy Minister starts with the presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister of Police, Ntate Mathale, all honorable members of the Portfolio Committee. The delegation for the South African Police Service is as follows. We have the head of the Directorate for Priority Crime Investigation, Lieutenant General Libia. In our midst, we also have the Deputy National Commissioner for Policing, General Masemola. We have two representatives of the provincial commissioners in the provinces that have been affected by this looting and violence. From KZN, General Mkhwanazi is currently having a meeting with the Premier. So he has sent a representative who is the acting DPC policing, Major General Makola. We also have General Mawela, who is currently on sick leave. There is an acting provincial commissioner, Major General Mthombeni. He is present in the meeting. We have the chief financial officer of the SAPS, Lieutenant General Dimbane, the divisional commissioner for visible policing and operations, Lieutenant General Mutlala. We have the divisional commissioner, detectives and forensic services, Lieutenant General Sintimule. General Mukhabudi, who was supposed also to attend this meeting, is currently with the National Commissioner in the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. We have the Divisional Commissioner for Protection and Security Services, Lieutenant General Sihlabane. We have the Divisional Commissioner Legal and Policy Services, Lieutenant General Khan. Divisional Commissioner for Supply Chain Management, Lieutenant General Reed. The Head of Corporate Communication, Major General Peters, the Head of Strategic Management, Major General Rabi. We have the Secretariat in the Office of the National Commissioner, Brigadier Malashela, as well as our Parliamentary Liaison, Kenneth Stein. This is a delegation from the South African Police Service. I will hand over back to the Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister. The floor is yours. You have the opportunity now.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, once more, and thanks to members, and thanks General Vuma for outlining who is in with us here. And like we said, usually when we interface with yourself, Chair, that we appreciate the moments that we come here as the South African Police to account to the people of South Africa through this Portfolio Committee, on which is on behalf of Parliament. I must say, Chair, that we have entered or experienced moments that are unprecedented in the history of our country. And I think there are few in the continent that have gone through this. We have encountered a moment that none of us ever thought it will happen, where we had to act against a head of state, in this case, the former president, Jacob Zuma, for the sentence that was muted out by the Constitutional Court. From that moment, the 5 days that the country had to go through, and ultimately culminating in a Sunday that was concluded in a manner that everybody appreciated the approach that the South African police adopted in dealing with that very, very difficult and volatile situation, which, as it concluded, people dispersed without a shed of blood out of that. And despite that provocative stance that was adopted by Agent Provocateurs who were part of that action there, the police maintained a position that made it possible for that situation to be managed the manner in which it was. And obviously, Monday leading to Wednesday, those are the days that were in the hands of the South African police, and we had to comply with the dictates of the courts of our country to ensure that the law is respected by everybody. And indeed, we carried out that task which was given to the South African police in a dignified manner without any incident happening. And of course, we know what happened after that Wednesday, the following day in the country, ultimately leading us to appear before you. These unprecedented moments that we were dealing with led to a reaction that was too huge in terms of the expectations that were expected by the law enforcement in the country or the security forces. Despite this difficulty, I must concede, Chair, that we could have acted better than what we did. But under the circumstances, we commend the role that the South African police and the security forces have done in ensuring that we don't go through a slippery slope which has no end. As we speak currently, there is some kind of normalcy that has been restored. And this has been possible not only through the work of the South African police, but also the response by South Africans to what was currently unfolding in the country, which was maintained contained in the two provinces, which is KZN and Gauteng, without spilling over into other parts of the country. And this was so because community members and leaders from different sections of our society rose to the equation and said, not in our area. Ordinary South Africans stood up as the lines of defense to ensure that what was unfolding is brought to an end in the manner in which it did. And also appreciate the intervention by the president of the country, President Cyril Ramaphosa, in ensuring that he provides leadership and allowing the deployment of the South African National Defence Force to come and complement the work that the South African police were doing to ensure that normalcy is returned. I should say, Chair, that we are not over this. And I appreciate the stance that the committee has taken through you, Chair, when you indicated that you are not going to sit back and be armchair critics, but you are going to go to the ground to interact with communities. This act of vandalism that has happened in the country happened in constituencies. It doesn't happen in areas that don't have constituency offices of public representatives. Therefore, it is important that all public representatives, not only the portfolio committee that you are leading, Chair, we appreciate the initiative we have taken, but I think all public representatives have a role to play. Police will not succeed in ensuring that there is law and order in the country on their own without the leadership of the country playing their part. As members of parliament, members of provincial legislatures, councillors, it is through the collective effort of all this this leadership at various levels of our governance structures who must come to the party together with communities and the private sector and your security establishment within the private industry. We need to all come together to respond to this challenge by mobilizing our people that we can't allow lawlessness to establish itself in the country. This must be brought to an end, and we can only succeed if we work together. So we are here, Chair, to outline what we are doing and what we are going to do going forward together with security forces to ensure that the situation is brought under control. And I must re-emphasize once more, Chair, that we understand the challenge at hand and we appreciate the response that our men and women in blue did, despite the fact that they could have done more and better. But we don't downplay the mammoth task that they were confronted with and the manner in which they responded to try and contribute to normalization of the situation. And for that, we commend them. I will take this opportunity, Chair, through you, if you may allow, that we make our presentation and we allow General Voma to lead in this regard. And then the team that with her will then come in to assist in making the actual presentation. Chair, if you may allow, I will ask General Voma to lead the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister. Honourable members, I am not, as I said, I am not going to allow, this is not a meeting, a usual portfolio committee meeting. And I'm not going to allow you to lament about when the presentation arrived, why you didn't get the presentation sooner. We are all working under pressure. If you are complaining today, it means that you are not having your foot and boots soldiers on the ground. So the National Commissioner has been in meetings. I have accepted and told the National Commissioner that we understand why the presentation is only going to be with us today. So please do not complain to me about when the presentation arrived. I have approved that the presentation arrives today. I'm not going to allow complaints about when the presentation arrives. Let us all appreciate that we are in an abnormal situation and follow the presentation very carefully so that we can make recommendations. Yes, we will be playing our oversight role. We will be critical, but today is not the time for us to sit back and fold our arms and send the South African Police Service packing. Today is the day we must rise to the occasion, show leadership, and provide advice on how to move forward. I allow you now to do your presentation. Thank you, General Voma.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and Deputy Minister of Police, for the opportunity for us to do the presentation. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I'm going to request General Rabi, the head of the strategic management in the SAPS, to lead us in the presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members of the Committee, our Honourable Deputy Minister, my Deputy National Commissioners, the Senior Management of SAPS, and Senior Managers of other entities represented. Honourable Chair, thank this specific presentation, as it was introduced, will focus on the current unrest situation and what has transpired and how the South African Police Service is currently responding to the unrest situation. As far as the presentation is concerned, Honorable Chair, we will focus on the background. We will just briefly refer to our operational command capability that has been established. We will look at the current situation and emerging threats, the incidents that has been recorded since the 7th of July, and also making reference to the last 4 days, what the situation is and what is currently transpiring. We will make just give an indication of the critical infrastructure that has been monitored and that we have deployments. We will also brief the committee on our actual deployments, the force levels that we have on the ground on a daily basis, highlighting some of the operational approaches and concepts that we are applying, and then also the reference to the investigation approach and the current case management. And then, Honourable Chair, we will end the presentation with financial expenditure estimates, what is the cost associated with the current unrest situation and the deployment of SAPS members to the specific identified areas. As far as the background is concerned, Honourable Chair, the Deputy Minister gave quite a comprehensive introduction which covers some of the aspects that led to the current unrest situation. And Honourable Chair, you also referred to some of the issues that contributed to this. In essence, with reference to the fact that there was a commission of inquiry into the allegations of state capture, was established and it chaired by Deputy Chief Justice Raymond Zondo, and this was commonly referred to the commission. And the purpose of this commission was to investigate allegations of state capture. And as part of the processes, after the evidence was heard by the committee, former President Zuma was called to appear before the committee. And at this point, he walked out of the proceedings, and there was also attempt by the former president to get the Chief Justice, Deputy Chief Justice Zondo recused from the committee for the reasons that has been quoted. And then the former appeared before the committee on the 18th of January and the 22nd of January. And again, on the 15th of January and the 19th of February, and at that stage, it was indicated that the president would not participate in the proceedings of the committee. Following that, it was indicated that he would be prepared to appear before the commission, but would not answer any questions. There was also a statement, a 37-point statement submitted by the former president on the 15th of February. And in March 2021, the Zondo Commission requested the Constitutional Court to imprison the former president for defying court orders. And that was heard on the 25th of March, the Constitutional
Court. Sorry, Major General Ravi, if I may interrupt you. Honourable members, sorry again for interrupting you. Our staff has been severely compromised. Babawa is ill and off ill. Nobesu is off sick. So our work has been shared by Dr. Tinis and Nicolette. So we've been extremely short staff. My apologies if you did not receive the presentation. Could the staff also ensure that the presentation has been emailed to all the members? If not, can you kindly please follow the presentation on your screen? We have received an assistance from Pilot Webby. He's in the meeting. He has been sent as a staff member to assist the committee. So my apologies if there's glitches. And if you did not all receive your information, my apologies to Honorable Majozi, who did not receive the link. So Honorable Members, bear with us. We have arranged this meeting under very, very difficult circumstances with no staff to assist us. Major General, sorry for interrupting you. You may continue.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. And consequently, the Constitutional Court handed down a guilty verdict on the 29th of June, and the former president was then handed a unsuspended sentence of 15 months. And Honourable Chair, what transpired after that, you have already touched on that, and there was also reference made to this situation by our deputy minister. Now, as far as how we are coordinating the process, Honourable Chair, we have established operational command center model in the South African Police Service that is coordinating our efforts coordinating our operational efforts and
I'm trying.
They are focusing specifically on issues around command and control.
General, because now I am on mute now.
General Rabi, I know we have interruptions, honourable members. Honourable members, please just be patient. And those members, can you please mute your mics? This is not honourable members. This is staff from SAPS. Generals, could you please just mute your mics? I'm muted now. The only person who could speak now is General Rabi. I will now only allow General Rabi to speak. I've seen that all the mics have been muted. Major General Rabi, you can continue. No disruptions from now onwards, please. We are focused on the presentation. We are receiving it now for the first time. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As I indicated, the purpose of our operational command centres is then to ensure that we have effective command and control, effective coordination and accountability during operations of this nature. They are also involved in the analysis of the current situations in terms of situational awareness, and also involved in operational and tactical planning, the coordination of intelligence, and then also making sure that the activities that are being implemented are implemented within the context of our crime combat and frontline service delivery concepts. The purpose is further also to ensure that issues that have been identified at the respective levels are properly responded to. Honourable Chair, the committee will also note in one of the further slides where we make reference to the emerging threats and the coordination role of the Operational Command Centre. Lastly, they are also responsible to ensure that we optimally activate our public order and policing capability and coordinating the activities thereof. Just briefly, where we have these structures at the various organisational levels, Honourable Chair, we have our National Police and Command Centre at national level that is situated in Pretoria West. Then we have provincial operational command centres in all 9 of the provinces. We have district operational command centres in the various districts, as well as the station level where we have station operational command centres. And these are supported by the various committees that are highlighted on the right. The NCCF is your National Crime Combating Forum. The CCG is your core command group that is specifically focusing on specific operations, for instance, the issue around COVID-19. And that is then replicated at the various levels going down. For instance, you have a provincial crime combating forum, your core command group, the provincial level, etc. Now, what is the current situation, Honourable Chair? Maybe I can quickly use this opportunity to explain why there was a delay with the submission of the presentation. As you indicated, and we do appreciate, Honourable Chair, is that we are currently under pressure as far as the situation is concerned, and we wanted to make sure that what we present today is an indication of where we currently stand. Now, if we look at the social media mobilization, I think the members of the committee and those in attendance is aware of what is distributed on social media. They are mobilization under banners like anti-lockdown, hands off Zuma, to gather, for instance, at Luthuli House on the 16th of July in opposition to the ANC-NEC. There is a gathering at Gandhi Square in Johannesburg on 30 July that it will be led by the Citizens Action Campaign organization to march to Luthuli House under the banner of Maposa Must Fall. There is an online petition to free the former President Zuma, and there was also distributed calls for peaceful protest on the 24th of July. There is also continued use of terminology of revolution and threats against the current president. The social media posts that contain vile threats and calls of mobilization still do occur, and that includes mobilization in opposition to the deployment of the South African National Defence Force. On the other side, we note increasing social media posts reflecting opposition to the looting situation. And at this point in time, Honourable Chair, as you indicated, although the situation is relatively calm, it remains volatile, and specifically as far as Gauteng in KwaZulu-Natal is concerned, we have noted that there is being calls for mobilization in other provinces such as the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and the Western Cape. The reality is that our resources are stretched, and as you indicated, Honourable Chair, we have been supplemented by the deployment of the South African National Defence Force. And we have also noted, unfortunately, that incidents of law enforcement capabilities participating in the looting, that's undermining the credibility of law enforcement. There are currently isolated incidents of looting of malls and shops, as well as the targeting of foreign-owned shops. And as you indicated, Honourable Chair, the numerous malls have been closed in specific hotspot areas in attempt to prevent looting. The food shortages in specific parts of KwaZulu-Natal as a result of the looting that took place, as well as the problems experienced with the distribution. There's also a growing number of taxi associations that have declared that they will not allow protest action as it will inhibit their income. That is specifically happened in Gauteng, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. And then the Alexandra Hostel dwellers attempted to target the police station on the 13th of July, and they have stated they intend targeting SAPS officials. Now, as far as the overview of a further situation is concerned, it was specifically the attempts that talks to the targeting of critical infrastructure. In KwaZulu-Natal, we've noted the targeting of schools with feeding schemes. There was initially targeting the King Shaka International Airport, Richards Bay, and the Durban ports. There were also threats against the Impala Eskom substation in Impangeni that was dealt with on the 14th of July, and further targeting of our distribution centers that are located in Cato Ridge, KwaZulu-Natal, the Etiquette Value Logistic Warehouse, and also some companies in the River Rose Valley Industrial Area, Unilever. Now, you also noted, Chair, that communities are beginning to group together and protect their areas. The communities are patrolling certain areas to prevent looting. Unfortunately, it's also been alleged that some people are currently using this to cover their plans to target shops at a later stage. There's no indication at this point in time of widespread planning of a national shutdown. The public transport is being negatively affected as a result of the situation, with specific reference to our taxi, bus, and train operations. Now, that will then also logically will have an impact on the economy due to loss of wages as well as production. And there was also indication from South African petroleum refineries declaring that they will not be able to meet some of their contract application obligations, and that may lead to fuel shortages. If we look, Honourable Chair, at the emerging threats, we are monitoring the situation on an hourly basis. And it is correct that we have identified certain emerging threats that unfortunately we cannot share that information on this platform. But as indicated, we monitor it by our Intelligence Coordinating Committee on an hourly basis, which will then inform the National Operational Center, and they also communicate it to the National Operational Command Center, where I'm currently sitting. The National Operational Command Center directs these emerging threats to the relevant provincial operational command centers for operational purposes and to ensure the validation of these threats and to ensure that the further action is initiated by security forces. That links to the comment that I made earlier about the role of the operational command center. If we look at the current hotspots, Honorable Chair, at 6-7 o'clock this morning, when we evaluated the situation, starting with Gauteng province, the situation was calm. And at that stage, our members, both from a visible and investigative perspective, was following up on the looted items, the tracing looted items, etc. The police in Gauteng is also at this point in time escorting the recovery of damaged ATMs through the coordination of SABRIC, and we are also securing the distribution of food in Gauteng province. But as I indicated, there is no, the situation is relatively calm at this point in time. The same applies to KwaZulu-Natal province, where we have a similar situation. There are sporadic incidents that relates to looted items that are still lying on the streets, etc. But at this point in time, or at 7 o'clock this morning, there were no specific threats or looting taking place as far as the malls and shopping centers are concerned. In KwaZulu-Natal, they have ensured the deployment of security forces to the harbors, to the airport, the malls that have been identified as high-risk malls, refineries, as well as the N3X national route. The unrest-related incidents, Honorable Chair, this is up to the 11th of July. Initially, the first, basically the first couple of days of the unrest, where you will note that it was primarily in KwaZulu-Natal with the highest number up to then, 27 and 17 in Gauteng. And then we had low numbers in the other provinces. And just to confirm, as you indicated, with the hotspots in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. If we look, Chair, at the last 4 days in terms of the trend, you will see the respective provinces are reflected there. And at this point in time, this morning, we've noted a decrease in the number of incidents in all the provinces. Those that are indicated as stable with the orange arrow, they were very few incidents. For instance, in Limpopo, Free State, Western Cape at this point in time, Eastern Cape, again, you will see the high numbers that were recorded in the last 4 days in the Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, but what is important there is a decreasing trend as far as the current or the situation is concerned at 7 o'clock this morning. Our daily deployments, just in short, Chair, to give the committee a perspective of what we are deploying on a daily basis. These are the people that have now been allocated to the respective provinces in terms of addressing the issues around unrest. I'm not going to go through the numbers, Chair. Just for interest sake, you will note the highest number of deployments within Gauteng and KZN, as those are the burning points at this point in time. Our uniform policing, we have deployed all we have within 12-hour shifts, that's working from 6 in the morning until 6 at night, and then the same capability during the night. But this gives you, the committee, a good idea of the average deployment, and you will note that we have, on average, we are deploying 9,300 uniformed policing members, 855 members from operational response, detective service 1,500, crime intelligence 862, reservist 39, that is currently low, but I will comment on that. So in total, if we look at the SAT capabilities, it's a total of, on average, 12,616. And then we are supported in looking at these deployments by the National Defence Force that is deployed at any given point in time. 2,000 metro traffic police, average of 1,500, and that gives you a total of approximately 3,500. So, Honourable Chair, on average, that we have approximately 16,211 deployments at any given point in time that is dealing with the unrest situation. Looking at the critical infrastructure, Chair, your reference was made by yourself to the malls and the shopping centres. What we do is on an hourly basis, we are monitoring the critical infrastructure and what has been affected by the current unrest situation, and we facilitate processes to ensure the deployment of security forces to these critical infrastructure that we monitor. What we specifically focus on is our international airports and harbors, our national and provincial transport routes, malls and shopping centers. But because of the numbers Chair, involved here, we specifically focus as far as the rest of the critical infrastructure is concerned on those that we have classified as being vulnerable or at risk. We are also monitoring the hospitals, our warehouses that are housing hazardous material, COVID-19 vaccines, oxygen, non-hazardous material, as well as food. We also focus on factories that is responsible for the manufacturing or using of hazardous material, oxygen, non-hazardous material, and food. Our liquor outlets and distributors, I think, Honourable Chair, the committee have noted that there is a focus on these liquor outlets and distributors. And then lastly, also monitoring the situation as far as firearm dealers are concerned that has been classified as vulnerable or at risk. So the current operational issues, Chair, that we just want to highlight is firstly the major routes. The one that is well known in the media is the N3, running from Gauteng down to Durban, KwaZulu-Natal. Now, in this morning, I'm not sure, maybe we could get an update if the route has been open since, but at this morning, the route was full closed wherever in Tugela Plaza, and the indication was that they are using that opportunity to clean the roads and clear it of the debris and as a result of vehicles being burned. And currently, the traffic was diverted to alternative routes. There were no incidents, and security forces have been deployed to hotspots on this route, or we also have a roadblock at Harry Smith. Then as far as the other routes that we are monitoring, Chair, and this was on the request of the National Security Council in N1, N2, and the N4, we were not aware of any incidents, and they were open, and traffic was running. And as a monitoring mechanism, we are sporadically deploying aircraft from the various airports to monitor the situation on these routes. Yesterday afternoon, the last one that we monitored, when they flew over the N3, we could not, at that point in time, identify any specific problems. We are also focusing on the escorting of essential and critical cargo. We have regular meetings, Honourable Chair, with main industries that are responsible for critical supplies. That includes oxygen, pharmaceuticals, chemicals, fuel, food, and industrial gases and coal. And the companies that we are that's primarily responsible for that includes Afrox, ECI, Eskom, your chemical industries, major pharmaceutical companies like Plix, Dischem, Netcare, etc. Now, these businesses, on a daily basis, they submit their schedules to Mr. Baxter of Business Unity South Africa, who then informs the South African Police Service. He consolidates these requests, and once these requests are being received by the South African Police Service, it is getting prioritized, clustered, and then we arrange the escorts according and operationalize that specific capability. Now, before we commence with the execution of such the prioritized schedule is then communicated through Business Unity South Africa as the nodal point. The escorts are currently mainly focused on Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, escort between other provinces that is considered a lower risk is also being facilitated. The escorts to lower risk provinces are done only from the departure point, for instance, from Gauteng across the border into lower risk provinces. The intra-provincial, within provincial boundaries, the escorts are being dealt with by our respective provinces, while the way there's the request for escort, interprovincial request, this is being dealt with by our division, visible policing and operations at head office. As far as the DMA, the enforcement of DMA regulations during this period is concerned, Honourable Chair, I think it is obvious that what happened and what transpired did influence our response to or our enforcement of the DMA regulations. Now, when we look at the current situation, the gatherings are only permitted in terms of funerals, and however, the tendency has been that communities have been gathering in large numbers associated with COVID-19 vaccines and the current unrest-related issues, which was then available on your media, where we saw these large groups of members that were gathering, etc. And I think we all saw, for instance, during those processes, Honourable Chair, that very few, if any of those people, for instance, were actually applying principles of social distancing or wearing masks. We have, however, affecting arrests for possession of large quantities of alcohol, which are suspected to be stolen during these looting processes. And we have also where required dispersed communities that are gathering after the curfew period of 9 o'clock, 21-hour, 100 hours in the evening. Communities in certain provinces that have been identified that has been contravening the regulations in terms of their gatherings, the large numbers of members that have been gathering, they are not adhering to the curfew period, and they are also not adhering to the directive to be wearing masks. So there we have high levels of non-compliance. But at this point in time, although difficult and affected by the situation, we were focusing and ensuring compliance as far as possible with the DMA regulations. As far as the judiciary, the security of the judiciary and political persons are concerned, this matter was raised also, Honourable Chair, at the National Security Council. It relates to the operational plan that was compiled at, in accordance with the level of threats applicable to the judiciary and political persons. Now, the type of protection involved is static protection at specific identified facilities. That's your constitutional court, the office of the Chief Justice, the state capture venue, and then also residences of identified judges of the constitutional court. We have identified 8 judges that were that requires protection, and they will be provided with protection and security. The deployment plan constitutes the following. We have it's a 12-hour shift system, which consists of 4 members for the date of 15 July at the Constitutional Court, the Office of the Chief Justice, and the Cape State Capture Venue. But from last night, this deployment will increase to 10 members during a shift at these facilities. The identified political bearers that we have increased protection includes the ministers within the JCPS cluster, specific reference to police, correctional services, and public works, and then the premiers of KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. The deployment of reservists, Honourable Chair, in terms of the relevant legislation, the National Commissioner may approve the call-up of reservists to perform duties associated with policing. And we are currently a total of 2,245 reservists are available for deployment that will commence in Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, depending on the requirements and the situation. And a total of 3,535 reservists can be called up for 12-hour shift in the other 7 provinces as required by the situation, should it then deteriorate. The investigation approach, Honourable Chair, just quickly, we have task teams that we've established within the respective provinces at district level as well, and are dealing and investigating of these cases of public violence, and making sure that these crime scenes are attended specifically by these task team members as well as forensic services. And then all incidents offences are reported to the national nodal point, including the Operation Command Centre, where we are currently sitting for the monitoring purposes. And their task is to ensure that all these cases are properly investigated and finalised. Incidents are reported to the district commanders, which in turn informs the Deputy Provincial Commissioner of Crime Detection. And as I indicated, ultimately, we received the detail here at the Operations Command Center, then also for purposes of informing the NATOINS. Then, Chair, the arrest of instigators and ringleaders, this has been in the media, and 12 individuals have been identified who are allegedly involved in online activities that relates to the instigation of public protests. Now, as far as the 12 are concerned, 3 have been prioritized by the DPCI and the Division the Detective Services, and they are currently busy with the processes. The necessary affidavits have been obtained, and during this morning, the arrangement was that the Chief Magistrate in Durban was on standby to issue warrants of arrest should that be necessary. I'm not sure I want to believe, Honourable Chair, that General Lebia will be giving an update on this, because there could have been some development since early this morning. The remaining 9 individuals are also currently being profiled and linked to other and current cases. Just to mention, Honourable Chair, at 1:15 this morning, an individual that is not part of the above-mentioned 12 was arrested in the West Rand. He was distributing messengers through mobilizing the communities. This was reported to the South African Police Service. We followed up on that information. And as I indicated, approximately 1:15 this morning, this person was arrested for inciting violence through social media. Just in short, the latest figure that we had, and this is also currently being updated, is a total of 1,212 cases, the docket that has been registered, with the highest number in case 8N, 949, and 248 in Gauteng. We have, until yesterday afternoon, arrested a total of 2,204 people, of which 1,416 in KZN and 725 in Gauteng. Honourable Chair will note, I'm not going to go into the specific detail because the majority of these dockets are currently under investigation. 246 in total have already been referred to court, and that is primarily in KZN and Gauteng province. Lastly, Chair, just an indication of the financial impact and the estimates on expenditure as far as these deployments are concerned. It's provisionally estimated at approximately 350 million, the expenditure incurred as a result of the deployments. Now, what is contributing to the expenditure mentioned is in terms of the direct cost, the all-inclusive overtime allowance, night shift and service allowance, the remuneration of reservists, meal allowances when members are deployed from their normal place of work, accommodation, incidental allowances, additional resources that needs to be procured. Indirect cost relates to your vehicle fleet expenditure in terms of using those vehicles and the associated consumption of fuel, service, intervals, tires, etc. And then also the increased utilization of inventory items such as ammunition, the water cannons, barbed wire, etc. The funding mechanisms that has been identified to fund the current estimates will be done through the reprioritization of the current allocations within the SAPS allocation, SAPS baseline. Proceed underperforming projects, looking at what if costs and money, funding and money can be shifted, and where applicable, national treasury approval will be obtained in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, Treasury Regulations or Appropriation Act as far as variables are concerned. Honourable Chair, thank you. It has been a privilege to do the presentation. May I at this point in time, Honourable Chair, ask if I can be excused in the next couple of minutes because we need to do some preparatory work for the National Security Council as well as Cabinet briefing this afternoon. Honourable Chair, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Major General Rabi. We have you could take the could you remove the presentation from the screen. We have been told that there's a Cabinet briefing again today and that the JCPS cluster is also meeting. We will allow Honourable Deputy Minister, those who have to be excused. As I said, we are in a really peculiar situation. This is unnatural, and we cannot behave today as if it is business as usual. Deputy Minister, do you have input from General Labia?
Yeah, I wanted to ask that, Chair, that we allow General Labia to come in so that members can get a perspective in terms of other issues that General Rabi couldn't talk to. If you may allow, we ask General Labia to come in at this moment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. General Labia, you can come in now. General Labia, if you do not have a presentation, we do understand that you have been doing presentations to NatJoints, to NICOC, and you have been under tremendous pressure. So, honourable members, please bear with me. I am not receiving any complaints today about the lack of presentations and how late you receive the presentations. The information is changing on a daily basis. In fact, the information is changing on an hourly basis. And the police, as well as the JCPS cluster, is briefing the president. They are accompanying the president on his oversight visit in KZN. We are now getting an updated report from General Labia. Again, I am asking honourable members to understand that after our oversight visit, we'll have another portfolio committee meeting. I have received permission now from the Chief Whip that we can have regular meetings. And as I said, honourable members, I cannot wake up in the morning and call a meeting. I need permission from Dr. Tuli Twala, from the House Chair, from the Chief Whip. Chief Whip has now understood that we will have a better budget for our oversight visit because a number of the flights have been compromised. I think there's only two or three airlines. We may have to fly members in on Monday already. So while I am in the meeting, I'm also running around with the arrangement of the oversight visit. So if you do not find me and I'm not available, I'm asking the Honourable Whip to hold the fort for me because I'm also speaking to the House Chair and to the Chief Whip. Honourable members, as I said to you, this is not natural circumstances. These are circumstances out of our control. We have never arranged an oversight visit in such short notice. There are documents I have to sign. Honourable Deputy Minister, this is not, I'm not undermining the executive or anybody, but please bear with me. We want the oversight visit to be a success. And today is Friday. We need to have our budget approved before the end of today, and we may have to have members flying out on Monday already. So we cannot get documents approved on Monday. We must have those documents approved today. So, honourable members, if you do not find me, honourable Mapatsu will do the chairing, as well as the section on the questions and the responses. I will be around. I just have to leave time and again when I have to sign documents. General Labia, you are allowed an opportunity to brief the committee now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, the Honorable Deputy Minister, and all other participants and my colleagues. In addition to the presentation made by Major General Rabi, he have indicated the investigation environment where the DPCI is also playing a role. As it shall have been indicated, there are those that have been arrested on some of the public violence matters that the detectives are dealing with. And then it has been indicated on a specific slide where the instigators have been identified, and we are working on that. In that regard, without detailing the nature of the investigation that we are dealing, also understanding the usual defense that people raise when we confront them, that they are inciting others, we will not be detailing that. We are working closely with the prosecutors that are guiding as to whether the available information is sufficient to be able to confront the individuals that we say we are focusing on. It shall have been indicated that we prioritize others as we, when we monitor, we see those who are seriously instigating others. And we know that they would like to place a shield that they, in public, they would like to plead that they are not doing anything wrong, whereas the evidence that we are gathering suggests otherwise. So I'm not going to deal with the names. As it is a usual practice that we only mention the names once the people have been arrested and charged. So what I would like to plead to the community in general, the public, is that we appreciate the information that they share with us. Let them continue to do that, because most of these instigators talk to them, and some of them do not appreciate. So we welcome the information. Let the information continue to come in, so that when we take the necessary actions, we know that we have got sufficient to be able to prove the matter when we go to court. So that is, in short, the comment that I will make. And then I think that the presentation itself has indicated that the detectives are working in all the provinces. The DPCI is also available in all the provinces. We are working together. We make use of our intelligence community in ensuring that the potential suspects that need to be addressed are indeed addressed. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chair. You are done, General Levea.
I'm done, Minister.
Chair, Chief Whip, Honorable Mapato.
Thank you very much, thank you, Honorable General Levea. Sorry, I did inform members that I may have to leave the meeting. My apologies for that. Honorable Mapatse, I ask you that if I'm not here, that you do assist me. Could we now, Deputy Minister, could you indicate if there is another input that you'd like before I take questions from the members?
Unless if we want to get comments from KZN and Gauteng for just briefly.
I would appreciate it. Could we start with the Commissioner of KZN? He can also give us a detailed account of what the situation is like in KZN and what they have covered. Do we have the Provincial Commissioner of KZN here, DM?
Good afternoon.
We have...
DM?
Sure, can
I am here. Okay, this is... Okay, good afternoon. This is Mr. Gerald Makhoba. I am the Deputy Provincial Commissioner, acting Deputy Provincial Commissioner Policing in the province. Am I audible?
Deputy Commissioner, yes. If possible, can you switch on your video, please? We would like to see your face.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm Mr. Gerald Makhoba. I'm the Deputy Provincial, acting Deputy Provincial Commissioner Policing in KwaZulu-Natal. Maybe let me start with the current situation in the province. Currently, the situation is relatively calm, or it's calmer compared to the previous days when we experienced the protest and looting and the unrest. What is currently left now happening is the items that were looted from the shops left on the streets. And then we see members of the community going back to those areas to try and take whatever is left on the streets. At the same time, we have the business fraternity assisted by members of the community, starting with the cleaning up at the areas like the malls that were looted and damaged. The cleaning up started as in yesterday already. It is continuing. And that is observed also as we see the president going around from mall to mall or from the areas that were damaged or affected. And we're also seeing in a big scale at certain areas, the members of the community coming on board trying to assist the police in ensuring that their areas are safe and checking the people that are moving in and moving up, out with an idea or intention to identify possible looters or possible criminals that want to take advantage of the situation in their areas. We have major malls and major national key points and other critical infrastructure that as the province we are looking after and ensuring visibility in and around those areas. We have deployed the police, the men and women in blue, as well as SANDF in those areas. Talking about the malls and the major infrastructure, to mention but few, the malls, we're talking of Gateway, that you all know. We're talking about Pavilion and other malls. And then the national key points, we have many of them, but we are prioritizing some of them. At some national key points, we have static deployments, and in some we have random patrols and more visibility in and around those areas. Some of them to mention is the Durban Harbour. We also have the Shafref, the engine refinery as well as the airport, King Shaka International Airport, as well as Richards Bay. Like I said, I'm only mentioning few of them. As said, the presentation that was done by Major General Rabi, those cases are under investigation. Some are done by our local detectives at the district level as well and coordinated at the provincial level. And we have few cases that are undertaken by DPCI. Okay, so for that, and the interesting relating to the identified instigators, that is basically what I can add on the presentation that was presented by Gerard Rabi. But just to close off my submission or my input is that currently we are having situation relatively quieter than what we have seen in the past few days. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner, for that presentation. Could you still stay with us for the questions? Honourable members, I'm still taking Gauteng presentation before we take our first round of questions and responses. Deputy Minister, who will do the report? Thank you very much for the Deputy Commissioner, KZN. DM, who will do the report for Gauteng?
General Mthombeni, the Deputy Commissioner, who is Acting Commissioner currently, because the General Mawela, the Provincial Commissioner, is on sick leave.
Thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner. You may do your presentation to us. I know it's not it's a verbal presentation, but you may continue.
Very much, Honourable Chairperson.
Deputy Commissioner, we see your desk, we don't see your face. And you have documents on your desk which we don't want to see. We would like to see your face, please. Right now, we can just see your documents. There, your face is there now. Thank you very much, Deputy Commissioner. You could start now.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, the Deputy Minister for Police, the Deputy National Commissioners, Lieutenant Generals on the platform, and colleagues. For Gauteng, in terms of what is the situation for now, one would say, starting from yesterday, it is relatively calm.
Disturbing noise that is coming from.
It's relatively calm, but from time to time, as our intelligence work on an information, we get reports of malls or areas of concern. I will say for now, the most affected areas in Gauteng, it's your Barra Mall. And having said Barra Mall, we also got some threats in terms of the hospital itself, Chris Hani Barra Hospital. And almost every day, the Maponya Mall, because it's still standing, the Marlboro. And we in Marlboro, close to Marlboro, we had some problems in terms of the African Pan Mall, or Pan African Mall. That's where we had a number of incidents, more special that the Chris Hani Mall, your Mamelodi Mums Mall, Tembisa Plaza. I must indicate we are deploying daily, and our deployment will be
Provincial Commissioner, if you are alone where you are sitting, could you remove your mask, please? Because we have difficulty hearing you.
Honorable Chairperson, but I was with somebody. I requested that somebody to move for social distancing.
Thank you. Could you also speak into the mic, please? Because when you look away, then just speak straight into your laptop. When you turn your head, then we lose your volume. Now you're turning your head.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you.
I was saying on those malls which I've indicated, we're making deployment in terms of members of the South African Police Service, as well as the National Defence Force. I must indicate that in terms of the national key point, we also deploy the National Defence Force in Union Building and OR Tambo. In terms of the presentation, we agree. We'll have just to indicate that in terms of the arrest, in terms of the death, we are currently having 32 because the numbers have added. The 32 include 16, which is in quest, where in the Midlands, 10 people passed away because of stampede. They were struggling to get into the mall which is in Midlands. And yesterday, we also got 6 deceased in Tembisa South, where in Tembisa South, the incident happened on Tuesday, on the 13th, and the bodies were only discovered yesterday, as one of the participants during that time in that particular mall indicated that his friend did not come out there. So we moved in with the fire brigade and 6 bodies which were burnt. We found them there. In terms of the arrest, we also agree in terms of this presentation, but it will be maybe important to add, as maybe today through the media, the numbers might be different with the presentation. We had 725. We have added 137, of which currently we're having a total of 862. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I will stop just there. Much appreciated. I hand it over. I hand back over to the Deputy Minister.
Honorable Deputy, thank you very much, Acting Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng. Would you be able to please state so that if there are specific questions which are asked about the province, we would then have you to comment and to respond directly. I have Honorable Deputy Minister, before I take those questions, could I have you?
Thank Chair. I think that brings the presentation of SAPS to the end. To once more appreciate this moment you gave us. These are unprecedented moments, Chair, and it requires all of us to come on board and hold each other and respond appropriately to this challenge before us. Together, we can succeed in this difficult moment. Thank you very much for the opportunity you gave us, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister and your team. I am going to now hand over the list that I have now. Is Honourable Whitfield, Honourable Sheikh Imam, then Shembeni, Honourable Meshu, and then Honourable Tablanche. After that will be Honourable Groenewald, and then Honourable Faku. In that order, please keep your questions short and to the point. We don't want long speeches today. Honourable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much to you for convening this meeting under difficult circumstances. As quickly as it has been convened, I think it demonstrates that Parliament is serious about holding the executive accountable and to getting answers that South Africans desperately need. I want to echo the sentiments of the Deputy Minister in paying tribute to private security formations as well as civilian policing, community policing structures for acting as a force multiplier to support SAPS and the Defence Force in their efforts to contain the violence that we've seen across KZN and Gauteng predominantly. I think that it's right that we do so and that we thank those hardworking police officers on the ground who are trying their best against what I believe has been an obvious failure of SAPS, which we must recognise, and the Deputy Minister has acknowledged that SAPS could have done better in responding to the origins of the unrest that we've seen. But Chairperson, I want to dive straight into the questions, and my first question is for General Labia. General, is the DPCI investigating the current coordinated unrest that we've seen as a terrorist activity in terms of the protection of constitutional democracy against terrorist and related activities act? And if you are, what are the implications of such a classification? And if you are not, why not? There is sufficient information, including comments by the president, to say that this has been a coordinated and instigated attack on the state. And I think that we need an answer to that question. Chairperson, the second question is that it has been reported by the Minister of Intelligence herself that an intelligence dossier was provided to the SAPS informing them of an imminent threat as a result of Mr. Zuma's arrest. It is abundantly clear for all to see that the SAPS has been caught sleeping. And even today, 5 days later, we're not inspired with confidence that they are in total control of the situation. Will SAPS, and I presume it would be Lieutenant General Vuma on behalf of the National Police Commissioner, will she concede that SAPS has failed to respond to intelligence received from the State Security Agency prior to the commencement of the violent unrest? And was this failure, in her opinion, a result of deliberate sabotage by some within the police, or was it a result of pure incompetence? Chair, my next question deserves an answer because it is critically important to understand what the future of this unrest looks like. Now, it's been alleged that a container at the Durban port containing nearly 1 million or more than 1 million rounds of ammunition was looted in the Durban harbour while under the protection of the South African Police Service. Now, Chair, I don't think it's possible that such an event would occur without the cooperation of corrupt members of the South African Police Service. Can the police, can the SAP today confirm that this incident did in fact occur and whether members of the SAPs were involved? And can they confirm what steps are being taken to recover this ammunition? That's enough ammunition to start a war. And we need to take this incredibly seriously, and the committee needs to get a response. Chair, I'll leave it at that for now, but we must get answers to these questions today. We cannot be waiting for answers to be emailed to us, Chair, and I would encourage you to demand those answers from the police. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Whitfield. Honourable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you very much, Chair, and let me commend you for your prompt response on the request for a meeting to do what we do best, and that is our oversight. But let me start off by also thanking the police thus far, the security companies, the vigilante groups, the neighborhood watchers, who have ultimately been left on their own to be able to protect their communities. Now, my first question is, I would like to know, in terms of those 12 that we have identified, when can we expect more arrests? That's the first thing. The second thing is this, Chairperson, being on the ground in KwaZulu-Natal, particularly in the Itegwini area, I can tell you that, you know, the picture that might be painted by SAPS right now is that, you know, things are a lot calmer than it was, that they have things under control. Clearly, I must reiterate, it is not the case. I'm in touch with police officers at all levels in the province and in the country. It is clearly not the case. First of all, there is a massive shortage of police officers coming to work, either because they live in communities where their lives have already been threatened, and secondly, there is no transport for them to come to work either. So your staff complement has been depleted in the police station. Secondly, police stations do not have enough armament and ammunition. They do not have it. Thirdly, we must admit, based on what is happening, this is an attack on the state. It's an attempt to make this country ungovernable and an act of terrorism. Based on that, we need to understand that there appears to be a lot of infighting here, and we know where it is coming from. However, I don't want to go there, but there will be those that are aligned to those that are promoting the violence, and there will be those that are aligned in trying to defend the people of this country and to defend the constitution. I'd like to know how SAPS is dealing with that to ensure that this current deployment of officers they're talking about are actually, you know, here to defend the constitution and its people, and that they are not part and parcel of what is going on in the country and supporting those that are perpetrators of this particular violence. And the same thing goes with the South African National Defense Force. I'd also like to know, because there is no coordination whatsoever particularly in KwaZulu-Natal, Chairperson. And I can tell you this because I've spent more time on the phones, phoning police stations, the calls are not taken, they say they can do nothing. Right in front of my eyes, I have seen the looting taking place, I see it going into a building, I phoned the nearest police station, we can't do nothing, we are exhausted, we don't have the manpower, we're looking for security to guard our police station. That is how bad the situation is in terms of SAPS. It's not SAPS fault, let me reiterate this, it's not their fault, but I can tell you one thing, Chairperson, the issue of intelligence in South Africa was raised. I personally raised that there were greater risks internally than a risk of external attack on South Africa. We've identified and established this a long time ago, but not much has been done about it now. There's a lot of condemnation coming for vigilante groups, Chairperson. These people are spending day and night, and you're going to see this on Tuesday, Chairperson. On the street, they don't sleep, trying to protect their communities. It's nothing to do with racism. They have to protect the communities because the SAPS is not able to do it. Metro Police is not able to do it. We're speaking about the army coming, Chairperson. Where are they? Because remember something, they are supposed to be working in coordination with SAPS. We don't want, Chairperson, what happened in Cape Town, where when we interviewed them, the SANDF were working in isolation, SAPS were doing their own thing, and there was no coordination, and as a result, it is. While we sit here, Chairperson, I've just got reports now, right now, that in Isipingo, the market is being burned down and things like that. And I want you to know, Chairperson, that I will have to make 20 phone calls right now, Chair, and nobody will be able to go there and assist those people, because that's exactly what I've been doing day in and day out, and this or there is now. Now, the next thing I want to ask, Chairperson, if you are in possession of stolen goods, you are a criminal in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act. How is it so many people are allowed to be in possession of this? They're actually bringing the stuff that they've looted, it, and it's fine, it's okay. I cannot understand. The other question I have for the police is, what is your interpretation and understanding of a curfew put in place by the president of the country? Because I can tell you now, police vehicles again and again, a lot of this looting took place after the 9 o'clock deadline, Chairperson, right in full view of us. And the police are driving past and allowing people to be on the streets. So what's the purpose of our regulations we're putting in place if people cannot comply with the Chairperson? So that's the other problem that we are sitting with, where you find that the police are not acting appropriately, even though it's within their powers to be able to do them. Chairperson, I have begged literally to every head of the SAPS, cliques in Marin Hill, 180 million rand worth of goods, together with vaccine. There's a major threat of them blowing up that place because they've blown up all the other outlets. No one could get any assistance whatsoever. So the fact of the matter is, Chair, I'd like SAPS to tell us, how are you going to do it differently? Your intelligence has let you down. It does not mean if it's quieting down here, it's not going to start in any other provinces because they are migrating. When they were doing it all over at the same time in these two provinces, what they're now doing is they're taking area by area. Yesterday, they were in the entire Clearwood area, in the Mobeni area, so they're working by area. They is not be able to do that. And SAPS members, Chair, their hands are tied. We've tied it because they can't even shoot a criminal when they see them in front of them. I'd like to know this 25,000 soldiers, specifically, where are you going to be putting them? Because every town and suburb in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng is being attacked simultaneously. Chair, I'm going to come back on the second round and give my colleagues to be able to ask some more questions. And then, I'll take the follow-up on the next round. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam. I'll now take Honorable Shembeni and then Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, and sub-delegation. I don't have much. I will start by whereby the National Commissioner spoke about the levels of training in the police stations when he said there is level one and level two and there are resources in all the police stations to combat crime in such situations until maybe those situations escalate to level three, whereby POP, the public order policing, would be needed or dispatched. But my question is, what was happening there in Jabulani Mall next to Jabulani Police Station? I have seen police officers standing outside the gate with their hands in their pockets, only to find out that Metro Police, and there were about five Metro Police officers who reacted and who started arresting those looters. What was happening then? Can somebody explain what was happening? Why were these police watching, standing outside there, watching with their hands in their pockets? Because I think it was better if they stayed inside the police station other than to go outside there and be spectators. And then we say they don't have capacity. No shotguns, nothing in their hands. What is the meaning of that? Number two, what lessons have the SAPS learned from this past week's violence and their responses? Because now, when we look at the information by the crime intelligence, which we don't know whether it's true or not, it seems as if the crime intelligence said they gave out the information that such places and such places would be attacked, and the police did nothing. We are not sure of that, whether they did give out the information or not. And what is the capacity of the crime intelligence division in the of the SAPS? What is the capacity of the POP, the Public Order Policing Units? Was the units overly cautioned in their approach? Because now I remember there was this Marikana Commission that said you have got to upgrade standards somewhere here and there of the public order policing. Was that done? And I've never seen in this unrest or protest, I did not see any form of public order policing being dispatched. I don't know whether it was in some other areas, but in most areas where I've seen, they were not there. But we do have them. I think it's more than 13,000, but I would like to know what capacity do we have of the public order policing in the SAPS. Was there any interaction with the community police forums in those affected areas countrywide? Because we've got community police forums. Was there anything? Because I think what I've seen where I'm sitting or in my area where I'm coming from, when we got the information, people stood up and the police were called and there was action. There was fire that had already been started. But now because we stood up immediately when we got the information, we managed to stop all these things before they went far, before they looted or burned the malls. But now the issue is, what about the intelligence? We've got a lot of police officers that are working for crime intelligence above and around us here. But they did not see this coming. How? Because you can see, you can hear from the social media platforms that they are going to attack this and that place. But what is happening? What are the police doing with that information? Can we, the members of the public, get that information and the intelligence not getting that information? That somewhere goes with incompetency. I think that's the only questions that I'll ask for now, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shembeni. Honorable Meshu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I firstly want to commend Major General Nhlanhla Zulu, who acted with wisdom, sensitivity, and professionalism when she effected the arrest of former President Jacob Zuma. And we appreciate the fact that she did not make a spectacle out of it, or also showed some macho powers that could have sparked a reaction from those who were allegedly protecting the president. So I want to specifically say well done to her, because she was alone when she did that, and she did not take a large delegation with her, which could have exacerbated the situation. So well done to the Major General. Now, my first question has to do with communications between the channels of communication between the police and the private security companies. Looks like there is no communication at all, because when there is something that is about to happen to any mall, the private security companies that are at the place would be the first ones to detect that. Now, I want to know whether they can immediately communicate with the police or with the SANDF, or what is the position? Why does it seem that there is no communication? And I want to agree with my colleague who just spoke now about the failure of crime intelligence. Even though there can be denials, even though even the minister can say it is effective, the fact is crime intelligence in our country has failed the nation. And I think it is correct for the minister and the Department of Police to accept that they have failed. Because as my colleague has said, what is planned is all over. We know when these guys are going to hit. You know, one could have forgiven the police for what happened in KwaZulu-Natal. Why? Because the Minister of Defense said they did not think that it would happen that way, that malls would be attacked. But while the malls were attacked in KZN, information went out that after KZN, they are coming for Gauteng. Gauteng is next. And one would have expected a ring fence of steel around Gauteng, around the malls, to ensure that what happened in KZN does not happen in KZN. So nothing was done. Again, the police and the police and security were caught napping, which I believe is totally unacceptable. And obviously, I want to know whether the police are happy with their reactionary tactics rather than preventative. Prevention is better than cure. That are protected, that are unprotected. And I want to know why. Because with every mall that is looted and destroyed, there is an increase in food shortages. Food security is being threatened in South Africa. What is being done to ensure that we do not lose all the malls, particularly areas that have food? I was in Soweto yesterday. When I was in Soweto, I met a gentleman that came from Pretoria who said, I brought food for my parents because you cannot even find bread in Soweto. This is totally unacceptable. So I want to know whether other malls that are still standing are protected. And if they are not protected, why are they not protected? I also want to know why it takes long to approve the national collapse of additional reinforcement, because we have been told during the presentation that there are about 2,245 subs reservists who are waiting for approval. How long are they going for approval when malls are being tortured? When malls are being turned down, malls are being brought down on the ground. They are being looted. They are being destroyed. And it is food that people desperately need that is being banned. So why does it take long to approve the call-ups, even of the more than 2,000 reservists that can help to ensure that morals are protected, more people are protected, private property is protected? If there is red tape, the red tape must be cut. We know that for a long time, we have also complained about the red tape. It takes unnecessarily too long to make agent approval. Now, Moy River Plaza, Moy River and Tugela Plaza is maybe the most or the hottest hotspot in South Africa. Maybe. I do not understand. Trouble mostly, looting mostly, destruction of trucks and cars starts at the Moy River Plaza. What kind of security is in that area? Are the police failing to secure that plaza? Because whenever trouble starts, it starts there. It is definitely a hotspot that must be prioritized. It was heartbreaking to see all the cars, to see trucks that are distributing food, transporting food that are being looted. And the stores are empty. Why? Because nothing was done there. So the container, one of the honorables raised this matter, the container with ammunition has been looted. If there were police there by now, there should have been arrests. Are there any arrests? If not, why not? There should have been arrests because those hundreds of thousands of ammunition that was in that container are going to be used against our own people and against law enforcement agencies. As I spoke to some of the police yesterday in Soweto and also in Fosteras, at Maponya Mall and also at Chris Hani Mall, they are saying, when you ask them a question, we saw the trucks and your cars, the police vans, retreating or leaving as if running away. Why? They say we are vulnerable as policemen. We are not allowed to shoot the criminals. They say it's like the people on the ground, the looters themselves, they know that the police will not do anything to us. So they come charging at the police. And the police, they say to save their lives, have to run away because they were strictly told, don't shoot. Now, what are the police doing there?
Thank you, Honorable Meshu. Honorable members, I told you, if you make long speeches, you will get short responses. If you make long speeches, you will not get a second round of questions. So it's entirely up to you. Honorable Meshu,
let me ask my last one.
The last question, but please do not make long speeches. You will not get responses. And you are the very same members who say that you do not want responses in writing. If we do not manage our time, please do not complain to me. I really am trying to manage all of you. Please, honorable members. Honorable Meshu, complete, please.
All right. My last question about the security of the constables in particular, who have to use public transport to go to work and from work. They are saying, these people see me. These people see us. These people know where we are staying. What is being done to protect police officers, particularly constables? Thank you. I'm done, Chairperson.
Sorry, honorable members, I was muted. After Meshu's honorable to Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. And let me start by greeting the Deputy Minister and the police delegation. I really appreciate their presentation. Chairperson, and I know you gave us very strict guidelines, you know, where to operate and where not. But Chairperson, I want to start by saying that I just want to raise the issue that we as the committee requested this meeting. And we are really, I'm very appreciative, you know, that you organized this meeting, Chairperson. But I think that, you know, the public out there, you know, they are expecting us to hold the minister and the police commissioner to account, and they are not here today. And we haven't indicated a specific time. We can do it 10 o'clock at night if necessary, but I think it's a pity that they are not here today. Chairperson, then the second thing, I think that there was a total failure. You know, the law enforcement totally collapsed in KZN. And apparently, you know, it was quite obvious that the police didn't have any plan in place. Chairperson, it was, you know, you saw here a policeman and there.
Honorable de Blanc, sorry for interrupting you. Could you please switch on your video?
Sorry, Chairperson, my apology for that. Chairperson, as I said, what was missing, you know, quite obvious, you couldn't find senior management. I didn't see senior management everywhere and even or anywhere. If you wanted to phone them, they were just not available. I managed to get hold of the national commissioner, I must admit, but otherwise people are just not available. If you phone, they're not there, and they're not answering their phones. Chairperson, I think something needs to be done about this. Chairperson, then the police battled with resources. We were phoned from all over. People didn't have ammunition, blah, 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 stuff like that. That was a total mess. And yet then we are expecting people to be able to protect the community. Chairperson, the police, or the public rather, they were left on their own because the police were just not there. And the question, you know, apparently they didn't have any plan. They were definitely caught napping, Chairperson. I want to ask why. People covered a lot of ground about that already. Chairperson, then the recommendations. I want to ask the recommendations stemming from the panel of experts, the Farlam Commission, places like that. Even the National Development Plan, why are that not implemented yet? Chairperson, then the training. You know, I haven't seen the typical POP training and how you deal with crowds. People, the police didn't have, you know, the protective equipment to ensure minimum force. And the question is, why not? Why didn't they have it? Chairperson, then again, it was also raised the issue of, you know, some of the crimes that were committed, people, you know, already touched on terrorism. You know, there are even maybe treason, definitely sedition. And my question is, are people going to be charged for that? Are we investigating crimes like that? Then, Chairperson, I want to know from the police, apparently during 2016, and I don't have all the detail available, 2016, a circular was sent out by the police indicating that people mustn't use live ammo. Obviously, I don't want people to be shot. Nobody wants that. Question is, Chairperson, people must still defend themselves, the police. So I want to know, is there such a circular? And if there is, Chairperson, what is indicated in that? And then, Chairperson, I want to know, part of Section 205 of the Constitution, the police has an obligation to protect lives and also property. And why haven't they done that? Chairperson, then again, the last question from my side is, obviously, we need to investigate and determine lessons to be learned from that. Are we going to see investigations? Are there going to be consequence management? I want to know that. Chairperson, and then lastly, and I know this is a very unpopular thing that I'm going to say now. Chairperson, in any respectable country, the Minister of Police would have resigned if something like this happened. And our minister is just in hiding that happened throughout the whole unfolding of this business. And I'm asking, where is our minister? Thank you, Chair, for now.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tablanche. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I'm not going to be long. I've been covered with most of the questions already asked. I just want to say the following, Honorable Chair. We should ask ourselves, why are we where we are at the moment? What happened? Why are we at this situation, what we see is happening in South Africa? One of the answer to that question, Honorable Chair, is that we must ask ourselves as members of Parliament, as members representing the people, as members in a portfolio committee of police, as members where we say to our constituents, but we ensure that the executive accounts to Parliament, and we have to ensure that there is proper oversight. Chairperson, I've been on this committee for many years. For so many years, all the weaknesses, the problems had been identified. How many times did we as portfolio committee said, but this is unacceptable? And I know, I think most of the members at present is on the portfolio committee for the first time. But go and look into the documents. Go and look at the BRRR reports. Go and look at all the investigations done by this committee. Go and look at the recommendations made by this committee, although different members. But it does not happen. Therefore, Chairperson, I want to request that the portfolio committee receives a comprehensive report from the security cluster. You all are the chairperson of the security cluster, from all components, like for instance the SANDF and even the State Security Agency. And if we get that report, Chairperson, we as a portfolio committee, as far as police is concerned, must come forward with a comprehensive plan to say this must change in the police services. Chairperson, we are reaping the fruits of the fact that we are not up to standard. And let me put it clear. I salute those members of the police services who is working hard, who is doing their best, who are overstretched. But Chairperson, if you have to look on social media, and I do distinguish between fake and real news, how police members are caught on video looting with the looters. It's totally unacceptable, because that is actually proof that there's a serious problem in the police services. If it is one or two, yeah, maybe. But there are too many videos going around. Too many members of the police services who is part of the looting. I think the Honorable Sheikh Imam has referred to some of the incidents. Chairperson, we as a committee, we have an obligation to ensure that what we decide in this committee must be ensured to happen in practice. It must be implemented, or else we are also to be blamed for what is going on. Chairperson, part of the whole problem in South Africa is, and I said it to the Honorable President in our meeting, is the virus of impunity. There's no such thing that when people are get caught, and then we ensure that in the end, we have a very high conviction rate. We've seen it in our own statistics. The conviction rate in South Africa in the end of crime is about 17%. That means a criminal has a 83% chance of getting away. Impunity. People just get away. We have reference today from honorable members saying, well, the police just look by. People are just looking. Nothing happened. Let's go to the curfew. Let's go to the prohibition of gatherings in terms of the Disaster Management Act. But nothing happens. So why worry? I mean, there was a gathering at Nkandla before Mr. Zuma handed himself over to the police. Nothing happened. And let there be no misunderstanding. The intelligence structures, I include crime intelligence. And I don't care whether they tell me they've worked very hard. Crime intelligence, military intelligence, and the State Security Agency failed the people of South Africa. It's no use to react now suddenly and say we're going to do this and this and this. That should have been done before the time. You don't have to be very intelligent to understand when the gathering at Nkandla took place that there is going to be trouble. It already then surfaced on social media that people are going to protest. They're going to loot. And don't tell me no, they didn't say that. I can give you then the clips if you don't want to see it. So the atmosphere was already created. The circumstances built up. And still our security forces and our, specifically our intelligence services comes forward and said, no, they have it under control. Chairperson, you don't have it under control. And that is my question firstly. According to our presentations on slide number 23, it says that 2004 members of the SANDF at this moment has been deployed. But then other, the Minister for Defense and other ministers says, no, in KwaZulu-Natal alone, 10,000. Now, Chairperson, this misleading the public of South Africa. Because people are worried. In fact, they are scared. They hear that 10,000 soldiers have been deployed. But the police this morning comes to us and says, no, it's only 2004. That in itself is actually treason against the people of South Africa. Chairperson, that is then my first question. On General Labia, on the DPCI, Honorable General, I would like to hear from you. You say you are gathering information from the communities. What steps did you take? And I can actually ask it for the whole police, to inform the people, the communities, who they can contact in a confidential way to give information. What did you do? I didn't see any propaganda. Well, let you be, use another phrase. I didn't see any effort where, for instance, on television, it should have been all over the place in advertisements to say, if you have information, contact these following numbers. I didn't see it. So I would like to hear what you did to make it a possible for the people, the community, who is knowing what's going on, how to make contact and give information on a confidential base. Chairperson, I want to add, I think one of the members asked about the fact that the police ran out of rubber bullets and also ammunition, and that security companies, private security companies, had to supply the police with that. Is it true? I have it is true, but I would like to hear a response. Chairperson, my second last question is, what coordination does the police have with local community security structures, such as neighborhood watches Yes, they talk about the community police forum and all that sort of things, but with other neighborhood watches, farm watches. And the reason I ask that, Chairperson, I know for a fact, and I have proof of it, that the intelligence on activities from some of these local farm watches and neighborhood watches is better than that of the police. They have more information. They warn the police and say, this is going to happen. But the police is doing nothing about it. What coordination is taking that place? Lastly, Chairperson, and as I said, I'm covered with all the other many questions, is the whole focus now is on Gauteng and KZN, on all the hotspots, the airports, the shopping malls, and everything. I want to know, and it's very important, what are you doing as far as rural areas are concerned? What steps are you taking to prevent an overflow? Because, Chairperson, it is going to move to rural areas. And I want to put on record, and I know it is recorded, I want to put on record, if it is going to happen in rural areas, there is going to be bloodshed. I'm telling you now in a very responsible way. The communities are not going to allow that their lives be threatened and their families are unsafe. I'm asking the police, you must tell the people you are going to secure, specifically also the rural areas. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Groenewal. I'll take Honorable Fakuna.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, to Honorable Members, Deputy Minister and his team. Chair, first, let me also pay my condolences to the family of General Mfazi. I'm deeply grateful for his wife and children to give us such a humble servant of the people. May his soul rest in peace. We appreciate his contribution in making a better South Africa. Chair, first, let me also join honorable members to say that let us thank the men in blue and the women in blue for the contribution they have played in the past week. Yes, as Deputy Minister is saying that, yes, efforts were made, but from where we are sitting in South Africa and what the Deputy Minister was saying, that not enough was done. We're not happy with the current status that we've seen in the country. If you have looked in KwaZulu-Natal, the difference between KZN and Gauteng the past days, when the violence started in Gauteng, you could see that at least there was an effort from the South African police in Gauteng. There was an effort. But in KwaZulu-Natal, you could see some, because we are relying mostly on media of what is happening because we are not based there. But what we could see that some of the police were just standing there and doing nothing. And perhaps we need to have a comprehensive report, as some of the honorable members have said, to say what has really happened. And I'm more worried that now it seems that no one is taking SAP serious. If you could see that some of, from the report, we are told that some of the law enforcement officers were caught also in part of looting. Perhaps that is why some of the SAP's brand is kind of damaged. So I think, Deputy Minister, it's something that we need to look into. I also feel that during this period that your communication strategy was not as strong as one would have wanted to see. These are the areas that we need to improve. As Dr. Groenewald is saying, that some of these things were said in the committee, and I think if we go back to what we have recommended to SABS, perhaps some of these issues could have long been avoided. Chairperson. You know, we would want really IP to give us information of this information of police that have been found looting, and I hope that serious action is taken against these members. I've seen Metro Police, I've not seen SAPS in some of the pictures that have been shared. Chair, and also, Chair, one of the things that makes me worry that even infrastructure, government infrastructure has been highly damaged during this process. But let us also thank the business community for trying to assist SAPS during this process. We have seen it in KZN where people stood up. But one of the things, Chair, that we must at all costs avoid is that the involvement of some members of the communities who want to take law into their own hands. And I think that is why we've been emphasizing to the National Commissioner of the issue of CPF. We need to make sure that CPFs are in our communities, they are around there, so to be able to help. Because if we had visible CPF like in your communities, in your malls, maybe we could have avoided some of these things. But in general, Chair, the state of things does not look good. Things does not look good, but yes, some efforts have been made, and we want to appreciate that the work that we have seen in the past days. But my serious concern, Chair, comes to when the South African National Defence Force must play the role of SAPS. I think, yeah, Deputy Minister, this is where my main concern is. Why are people not taking the South African police serious anymore? And I also feel that our intelligence has really failed people of South Africa. We have failed people of South Africa during this process. And I think we need to be honest about this issue so that we can try and avoid some of the situations that we have seen in the past week. And I hope that we will not relax as we see the situation is coming down. We need to make sure now that our intelligence is on the ground, making sure that some of these events are not happening. I see here in the Eastern Cape, the chairperson of the Taxi Association was shot dead. I'm not sure if we can just get a confirmation of that. Perhaps at this meeting, I think honorable members have raised some of the critical things and Deputy Minister. Of course, there's members of the committee who are not here to criticize, but it's to look into those areas. And there's also an issue that is always coming up about the financial restraints. Yes, we understand that. That is why it is important that you can deviate in such situations. Deviation, you can deviate as long as you can mitigate. Why have you deviated? I don't even want us to tap onto the issue of financial constraints when it comes to SAPS. I wish that this is a lesson for all of us as South Africans, to make sure that we improve in making sure that our communities are safe. Minister also had a press briefing, I think yesterday, saying that some of the hospital in ARV factories have been, people were trying to even attack those areas and hospitals and schools. My question will be then, what has happened to the school safety plan? If we are worried, where are these programs that we are getting reported to when it comes to the committee? But I think, Chair, let us also appreciate really the effort that has been made. But from where I'm sitting, I think there's a lot of gaps within SAPS, especially when it comes to the intelligence of the country. We've felt wanting for days and days until the president had to stand up and talk himself so that the South African National Defence Force is deployed in Gauteng and KZN. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Faku. The next, Honourable Majozi, you had your hand up and then you lowered your hand. Would you like to come in now? Could I then take Honourable Mapatsu?
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Could you, sorry, mind for my interruption.
That's better. Now, come down a bit. Yes, that's better. Okay.
Yes. Now, I was saying, Honorable Chair, I want to agree with Honorable Paku that there's no use to cry on the spilled milk. I think the police have been complaining for a long time that their personnel is very low. And they were trying, the president approved the training of the 7,000 more policemen and women. But the COVID conditions did not allow the police to do that. And we must also be realistic, honorable members, that even if I agree with our honorable members that I think our intelligence was caught napping here. But not only the crime intelligence, because I've been raising this thing of there's no way the intelligence can work in silos. They should have where they meet. And I think the presentation by Major General Rabi, it gives the steps that this thing they saw it coming about the case of President Jacob Zuma. Let me leave it there, but go for on a Sunday when there was a gathering in Nkandla. Or Lieutenant General Reid, sorry for that. No, man. I'm making a mistake here. Somebody's in my screen here. It's Major General Rabi, ne? So he gave the background up to the last day on Sunday. All of us were watching TV and we saw what was happening. The crime intelligence services, and I must applaud the police in the manner they acted in the morning and afternoon of the Sunday. I think it was on the, I don't remember the date, but on that Sunday in Kandla, we must applaud the police in the manner that they have acted. They have acted reasonably. But remember also our members, when this thing started, it also caught them by surprise. But they were also overstressed because they were hitting a moving target. And if you run after a moving target, you'll not be able to control the situation. Even with the lack of the manpower, you can have manpower, but if a moving target spreads like that, the police also will not be all over. And these people, they know what they are doing, that they are not here. We know that they will come late. My constituency office is the one in the mall of Protea Glen. It was also vandalized. You can see that there's an element of criminality here. Now, how do you vandalize a constituency officer for political party? I think this thing, it was hijacked and the criminals took over the situation. You know that Jabulani Mall, it's just that maybe people, when we visit, it's one of the mall in Gauteng that we will visit. It's just opposite the police station. Just opposite the police station. And people are saying the police were putting their hands in their pockets. Huh? That mall services thousands of people of Soweto around there. And I would imagine that maybe the police assess the situation and realize that they would be really overpowered because they did not expect that it will spread like that in Gauteng. But nevertheless, they have tried their level best wherever they did. But I think next time it's important that our intelligence, Chairperson, it should not be that we gave the police the intelligence. And then you go and say in the media, you know who are the instigators. Why the SSA? Because it knew that who are the instigators. They did not arrest those people immediately and put then the blame to the SAPS and say, we gave the SAPS an information. But they give them an information that these are the suspects. So I'm saying our intelligence services, they should begin to work, Chairperson, you are the Chairperson of the Business Stability, that they should begin to work as a unit. You can't win this thing if all people are working in silos. The crime intelligence must do its own thing. The hawks must do its own thing. We'll never win this war. So I'm saying that the budget cut, Chairperson, I hope this time around Treasury will then realize that it is important to increase the budget. Well, I was listening to on a voice note that the police ran out of rubber bullets. And these people, the way they were attacking, you could see that they know that the police will run off their rubber bullets. And when what will they do if they can't? They don't have a rubber bullets, because that's the only thing that can be able to be used to chase our people. Otherwise, they can't use live ammunition. If they would have used live ammunition, we'll be talking another story today. So with those limited resources that the police had, at least they managed to a certain extent to quell down that other malls could not be banned. The one that I'm talking about, the mall, Chairperson, I'm concluding now, where my constituency office is. The private security that is guarding that mall, they chased the perpetrators the first day. The second day they came, they chased them away and were happy that at least that private security. But there was no support, and it's also next to the police station, Protea Police Station. There was no support to support the security. The third day they came and they overpowered them. That is why that mall was destroyed. So some of the things I might say, the security companies, some of them as a force multiplier, did play their role. I don't know in other places, but where I saw it, they even informed us that we chased them. They were here. The second day they came, we chased them. The third day, we could see this thing was planned. They came in their numbers and at night. They come at night and they overpowered the security company that was there. So where the security companies were not doing their work, I think the commissioner needed to make sure that that relationship it is advanced. But there's no use, comrades, ladies and honorable members, to complain, say, well, our police were caught napping and they must accept it. Much as we support them, that they are overstretched. But with intelligence, I think they were very weak, because on that Sunday in Gandla, they should have picked it up. And the SAA should have been able to say, these are the people that we think you must monitor them 24/7. Maybe we could not have this situation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpatswe. Honorable Majozi.
Good afternoon, Chair. Can you hear me now?
Yes, Honorable Majozi. Don't worry.
Thank you.
If you can't do your video, we know you have problems with connectivity.
Yes, I have a problem with my connection, Chair.
Leave your video. We can accept your apology.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the honourable members, the honourable deputy minister, the SAPS, firstly, maybe let us appreciate the report that we are receiving now, and maybe applaud also the policing forum and youth crime forum that was out there helping communities in making sure that they protect the infrastructures that are there. But Chairperson, maybe just to join in on the honorable members, that there's one conclusion that we must come in is that the crime intelligence has failed. In fact, the whole SAPS, we have just failed people of South Africa because we were caught not ready to deal with the situation. And it is unfortunate that because when these things started, there were signs that, and the people were speaking that they are going to destroy everything if it happens that a certain person is arrested. And now we are no longer on that. We are on the issue of protecting our own infrastructure and make sure that people of South Africa are safe and they feel safe all the time. And maybe one question that I will have is that police officers that were found looting, what is going to happen? Because there are videos that are there of police officers who were found looting together with the communities. You see those things, those are the things that discourages communities to even report some of the things, because why would police officers be involved in looting? That is the first question. And then how do we expect then people to have hope and have faith that they will be protected by our police officers? When there was a report that was tabled now from Gauteng, I heard that they spoke of Paramol, but at least other honorable members spoke of Protea and Jablan Mall, and also the Dobsonville Mall, of which that is where they started destroying the infrastructure there, and were caught unaware, and there was no forces on the ground that were supposed to protect those areas. And it is true, Chairperson, crime intelligence should have reported this way before, even after it had started at KZN. At least we should have been ready as Gauteng, that we know that it will be coming this side, and at least protect mostly maybe 90% of the places that we should have protected. But other than that, Chairperson, I think maybe we must also revisit our policies, or is it a bill that speaks about protection? In fact, at what point will police officers be able to use their ammunition? At what point where community members, as there is a bill now that speaks of self-defense, of which it has proven us as South Africans that we can't say that when there are these riots and they are looting, criminal lootings that are happening in our country, how then will we be able to pass that bill? But that speaks of self-defense. And maybe if we revisit those policies, Chair, to check how is it that we can help the SAPS to make sure that they also fulfill their mandate as the SAPS. Because some of the looters had guns. I could hear guns that were going off and on at night around 12. And at that time, it was the time when they were starting at Jablan Mall and other areas around Jablan. So I think we must when we come back, Chair, from the recession, we must be able to look at those and make sure that maybe there are other things that we can propose to Parliament and find out what is it that we can do. It's not only rubber bullets that police officers ran out of, even handcuffs. They had to use their shoelaces to make sure that they tie people up. I mean, we look like a joke. We look like people who are not serious about protecting our communities. And what are we doing also, Chair? What is going to happen with the people who are continuously encouraging people to go out there and loot? Because it's not only ordinary people. It's also leaders of other organizations who are doing that. Good people must go out there. They will fight. They will do that. I mean, how do you then become ungoverned and we just let it slide like that? What is it that we can do as police to make sure that whoever encourages people to go out and loot more, we are able to take them to task? If they must be arrested, they must be arrested. If there's a clause that says they must be arrested, then they must be arrested. But I think going forward, the Chairperson, we must acknowledge that we have failed. And going forward, then it's upon us on how then do we strategize from here and what is it that will be needed, because there was a shortage of cars, there was a shortage of police officers in certain areas, and people were just doing whatever it is that they like. So with that being said, Chairperson, I think when we come back, we must then sit and strategize and see what is it that we can do, but also get a report from the crime intelligence, Chair. I'm not happy with those with the crime intelligence. I'm just not happy how they could have not known that this is what was going to happen. And I mean, the damage has been done already, yes, but can we just get a report of what is it that they've been doing to make sure that they prevent such lootings and riots from taking place? Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, we have been busy since 10. You would notice that you have 15 minutes for responses. Now, if I interrupt you and shorten your inputs, you add two or more questions and you want to ask all your questions. Now we have Moss, Honorable Moss, and then you will have hardly any time for responses. And then you become very annoyed with me if I say that you will receive your responses in writing. I just wanted you to know that you make it very, very difficult for me to manage you. And then I have to manage you like a school principal when you are honorable members. So please, you have your own meeting in your own hands. So I chair your meeting, but you take advantage and then you all suffer. So Honorable Moss, you will respond now. You will ask your questions. Then there will be no more questions. And I've asked that the meeting continues until 1:30. Could the staff please arrange that we have extra time? Honorable Moss, it's your opportunity now. Honorable Moss,
thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Honorable Moss, can you just adjust your camera? We can just see your beautiful act. Can you just, yes, now we can see your beautiful face. You can continue, Honorable Moss.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, DM, and the commissioners of different provinces and our commissioners, and also members of parliament. I would like to express my appreciation that we get this meeting today, Chairperson. When I observe this bad thing happening in our country, I can't say good thing, bad thing happening in our country, I was nearby, lost my mind. I also agree with the what I have saying. We see this thing, I see this thing is coming. When I observe what was happening on the 4th of July, 2021, where I'm sitting, I'm not a crime intelligence officer,
Honorable,
whatever, where I was
Moss,
sitting. Yes?
Honorable Moss, Honorable Moss, sorry for interrupting you. Honorable Moss, it seems as if your connection is a little bit bad. Can you switch off your video?
Okay.
Yeah, your connection is a bit bad. Thank you, Honorable Moss.
Yeah, Chairperson, I agree what the WOP is saying. What was happening on the 4th of July, I observed that something is coming because the president has opposed a regulator to us on the issue of disaster of COVID-19. And mostly of the people who are attending that event didn't keep social distance, they didn't wear a mask, and all of those things who are dealing with COVID-19. And secondly, Chair, there is a curfew who's saying 9 o'clock, everyone must be in your house, no on the streets. What allowed the police that those people continue with the event not comply towards the COVID-19 regulation? That is a one point. Secondly, Chair, I don't want to speak what is happening over the last few days. That was worse, but I want to come to our province, the Western Cape. In this province, for the last 2 months, we have taxi violence in the Western Cape. You don't hear of any arrests by the police on the issue of taxi violence. And it still continues. We lost every day. We lost people's lives. Last week of Monday morning, there was a councillor who has been shooting in the New Cross Roads, and that woman, woman councillor, she lost her life. So things are continuing, and it seems that organized crime is very high in South Africa. Not only our province, in the whole country. And it's not the first time that we're getting these burnings and whatever. Every few months over here that we get these things inside, these riots in South Africa. And you don't hear that people be locked up or be arrested. So people cannot sleep tonight and tomorrow they wake up and they come to toy toy and do what like they do. It's legal, there's no order in South Africa. That's why we, as members of parliament who make the laws, we must make sure that these laws be implemented. And the people who must implement the laws is also the police. I want really to say, person, that we're getting the, after we doing the oversight and we're getting this thing will be finalized, that we're getting a way forward report, a constructive report. And I mean, we are not the cabinet to do the, we are the implementers. But we must get a plan from cabinet. How will we moving forward as South Africa? We must save this country. We can never, on Sunday, we're going to celebrate the life of Nelson Mandela. What are we celebrating on Sunday if this country is being destroyed by those individuals and those people who think they are the, I don't want to raise their names because I'm feeling very hurt. And I also want to ask the religion groups, the religion community, we must pray for this country. We must pray for this country that we can come out of this hatred. We can have too much hatred in this country, too much hatred. I want to stop that.
Thank you, honorable members. Honorable members, I have told you that you make it very, very difficult for me. You want to ask additional questions, Sheikh Imam. You want to ask additional questions, Meshu. Honorable Tablanche, you think it is just easy for me to call meetings. There are members who do not have access to data and members who then complain to me that if the meetings last too long, that they do not have sufficient data. So I'm asking you again, please bear with me. You make my life extremely difficult. I am going to ask my last questions, and that is about women and children. There have been women who were arrested in front of their children, and the children are left without care. I would like to know how many children have been arrested, and if so, if this is true, what has been done? We have seen that children or minors have been involved in the looting, and I would like to know what is happening. Honourable members, please, just kindly a matter of correction. I am the chairperson of the Peace and Security Cluster of the ANC Caucus, not of Parliament. There is no such cluster in Parliament. So I just want you to know that I can't call clusters in Parliament, but I call cluster meetings for the caucus of the African National Congress. But I will raise this matter with the Chief Whip, and then we can then get that information to see how we can call cluster meetings. The SAPS will have an opportunity to respond. Honourable Deputy Minister, I'm sure that you have seen some of the questions that ministers members have asked in the chat group. If you can also assist, it is now 10 to 1, but I have requested that we have sufficient time. Honourable members, we'll be doing our oversight visits on Tuesday and Wednesday. I've also requested that that when we do the oversight visits, that we have SAPS to respond to us. So we'll have SAPS available on Tuesday and Wednesday. Honourable Majozi, it seems as if this committee, your recess has ended. We also have to do constituency work. And as I said, we need to be on the ground. We would like to know if there will be spillovers into the rural areas, spillovers into other provinces, and how ready we are for just in case such spillovers take place. So can you also, Sheikh Imamas wants to know about the residential areas. We are also wanting to know if the instigators are going to, the names are going to be released. And then please, we do all say that this was a well-coordinated and a well-orchestrated campaign, and we want to see arrests, and we want to see those people, those culprits, has to be apprehended and brought to book and brought to justice. The criminal justice system cannot fail us in this instance. We want those culprits persecuted and rot in jail. Thank you very much. The Deputy Minister, you have your chance now.
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks very much to members for their constructive criticism and proposals in terms of what needs to be done. I must announce, Chair, that the National Commissioner was able to join us during the course of the deliberations. It's quite a while that he has been on the platform, and he will lead in the response to the questions raised. I thought it would be appropriate for me, Chair, to say that members must appreciate and be alive to the moments that we live in.
Sorry, Jim, for interrupting you. Honourable Moss, can you just mute? Honourable Moss, please mute yourself. Thank you. Sorry, Honourable Deputy Minister, you may proceed.
No, it's okay, Chair. Much appreciated. I was saying that, Chair, members must be alive to the situation we are currently in. It's not a normal environment, and we are, of course, grateful for the fact that they were very understanding as to why we only brought our report this morning. We really appreciate that understanding and attitude from them. This is not a normal environment. This is not a normal appearance by SAPS to you. we are appearing before you in the midst of a challenge gripping our country, and it's important that the meeting must be conducted in such a manner that we are alive to that situation and allow space for the operatives to go and do their work. I'm saying this in the light of the time constraints that you have already spoken to, but I think I'm happy that we can proceed until 1:30. But I think we should be mindful of the times we are in. The advices that have been given, we take them, and we will ensure that we strengthen our interaction with the communities broadly. If we are to talk CPF, it's not that it's about CPF, it's about neighborhood watch, it's about farm watches, it's about all organized community activities that are intended to fight against crime. And we should strengthen our interface with the security industry, because the security industry is regulated within the space of the South African police. So it's important that the coordination is enhanced amongst these. With the issue of, you know, the question that was raised by Honorable Imam, where saying, where is the army? I thought he's talking from a different world altogether, because since the announcement by the president, we have seen the army in the two affected provinces being visible in areas where it matters the most. And for him to ask that question, I found it to be a bit it was puzzling, because I think everybody knows the army is there. Well, the question should instead have been, why didn't the army come when this thing started, not where they are now, because the deployment has been made. I will, through your chair, allow the National Commissioner to lead in the response into some of the specific questions that members have asked. If you may allow, I'll allow National Commissioner to come on board. And thanks, Commissioner, for having joined the team here. Over to you, Commissioner, through your chair.
Thank you, National Commissioner. I just like to welcome you. Honorable Deputy Minister, thank you very much for staying with us. Honorable members, I just like to profusely apologize. I did not mean persecuted. I actually meant prosecuted. Can that just be corrected in the minutes, please? So these perpetrators must be prosecuted.
You don't want to prosecute them. Noted.
Okay, please, Deputy Minister, can you correct that? I did not say, I said prosecuted, that's what I meant. Welcome, National Commissioner. You have received some good compliments here, especially on how you managed the situation at Nkandla, but you have also received some serious concerns by the members, and I'm sure National Commissioner will give you a report on that, but there are real serious concerns about the intelligence services and the intelligence you provided. So National Commissioner, please don't refer to me all the time. You are welcome, and then indicate who will answer the questions. I will keep quiet now so that we have additional time for the responses. National Commissioner, you are welcome. You may start, and then you can also allocate your members to assist you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good day, Honorable Members, Deputy Minister. Chair, let me start with my apology for the delay in the Joint Standing Committee. The report did not pass the test in the beginning, and as a result, I could not leave until I do damage control and correct it, but eventually everything went well. Chair, I think the starting point is that at the beginning, when things started, all our force levels were in the various areas of deployment in terms of COVID-19 because of the enforcement that is requirements. That also includes roadblocks and other operational activities which were there. So whoever then started the modus operandi was aware that the force levels are actually scattered. And they realized very well that at the time the activities started, then they were going to beat us with the reaction time. But secondly, they also capitalized on environmental design factors. But we immediately did an analysis of the modus operandi, and we started responding, including the interception of this modus operandi. On the questions related, there's questions that are touching school safety, activation, rural safety, and then and the CPFs. I just wanted to indicate, Honorable Chair, that immediately after the operational response, which was the operational activation plan, I then instructed the community-centered activation approach. And in the community-centered activation approach, we did it through the community policing strategy, the youth crime prevention framework, the traditional policing concept, and also including rural safety. These activations, firstly, they included the immediate mobilization of the community in blue, and the sensitization of the young people, because whenever there's criminal operations, we revert to applying the youth slogan, the squeezing the space for criminals through the declaration of a psychological war. And we take the young person immediately out of reach so that we can collapse the operation. And then with regard to traditional policing concept activation, we also wanted to get the voice of the traditional leaders to tell the people to stop what they have been doing so that we can frustrate the criminality. And rural safety, we obviously mobilized both the farmers as well as the rural communities so that they are part and parcel of the process. So those activations, I think that has been done. With regard to the members of the service who are part and parcel of looting, I think presently, Chair, I have ordered a little bit more uniform from correctional services so that I can fast track the exchange of the orange uniform with the blue uniform. So immediately police get to looting, I exchange the uniform, I take the blue uniform immediately through the expeditious process. So all those who have been arrested, they've been taken, the disciplinary court process is going on at the present moment, because once we confirm the evidence, then they're no longer our members. Then, Chair, we'll also just like then to indicate that we've beefed up the capacity of the detective takedown operations in order to enhance the process of arresting people who are committing these crimes. And the NPA has also organized a team of advocates who are working together with us. Actually, overnight, there's been processes running between NPA and our detective, both DPCI and our crime detection. Hence, the arrest of the main instigator at 2 o'clock this morning was also part and parcel of those particular efforts. As we speak, I think the situation is stabilizing, Chair. And there's more incidents where we are foiling them down before they can happen, because we have also intercepted the modus operandi and we've activated the modus operandi counter strategy. So as a result of that, I think there's a process of increasing the speed of stabilization so that we can run the normalization process. But with your permission, Chair, I need to afford them the opportunity to the two DNCs who are there, but the, starting with the main role player, Lieutenant General Masemola, to respond to, because we're also running a NAT joint process which has been activated to provide a collective or a collaborated response to this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and members of the committee, Deputy Minister and the National Commissioner. I will respond to most of the questions that I was able to
We Chair has network problems. Where are you?
I'm underground. Who is on the platform?
The National Commissioner just finished responding. Maybe you can give some other members who want to respond.
The last time I had, he said to give Lieutenant General Masemola.
Yes.
Yes, Lieutenant General Masemola, you can proceed.
Thanks. Am I audible, Chairperson?
Hey, you're too far. You sound like you're too far from your mic.
All right, thanks. How is it now, Mr. Honorable Chair?
Better.
Thanks. Thanks very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, the Deputy Minister of Police, members of Portfolio Committee, the National Commissioner. Let me start by saying we are aware of the development in the country in terms of deployment in KwaZulu-Natal. As far as understanding, we did have sufficient deployment proportional to the threat by then, which we took from other provinces to beef up the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And yes, people did gather, of course, the operational members on the ground, they will determine when is the best moment to disperse and or arrest. And well, we know the situation, it went on, and we did increase the force levels in that province proportional to what we got in terms of the intelligence on the ground. But of course, there was a lot of, one would say, yes, intelligence, but some of the reported messages were a bit oldish and so on. But when the looting broke out, we did take extra measures to collapse the shifts of the police stations in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng into two, so that we have two shifts and we will have sufficient members on the ground. The call-up for reservists was signed off. Members were not necessarily waiting for the call-up. They were told, deploy, the call-up will come, and it was since signed off. So those 3,000 reservists supposed to be on the ground by now. In terms of POP deployment in the province of KwaZulu-Natal, we have since increased it over 1,000. And also in Gauteng, we have beefed up the numbers from
my apologies, Lieutenant General Masemola and National Commissioner, just my apologies. Honourable members, just a bit of housekeeping. Honourable Mapatso, thank you for assisting me. We have difficulties with your flights for Monday. We want to start on Tuesday, So some members, you may have to fly into Durban already on Monday evening. I've also asked that they look at accommodation for us for Monday evening. So I'm asking members just to multitask. I know you are listening to the responses, but you know that the bookings have to be made today. So can you just indicate, send a message to the staff, Dr. Kinnis or Mr. Lobby, where you are going to fly from, because we are struggling with flights. Just send a message to Dr. Kinnis or Mr. Lobby to say where you are going to fly from. I'm sorry for that interruption, Mr. Masemola. There are members who will only join us in Gauteng, so please indicate that. We are struggling with flights. Honourable members, I know that I have to interrupt, but we are arranging all these events, like our oversight visit at very short notice. General Lieutenant General Masemola, you may continue.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chairperson. Yeah, I was still talking about Gauteng. We also did beef up the province of Gauteng from other provinces. And of course, we did not take everybody from all the other provinces with a view that if it erupts in those other provinces, we will be able to contain. Currently, both KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, we have all Police Act members called up to be part of this two-shift system. And all other provinces, we have also called them up. I think it's only one province where we still left them, Northern Cape, who will assess the situation and act accordingly. So the other provinces, the other forces, all forces are on the ground in case it evolves, and we will not be having any other soul to spare. Within the two provinces, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, yes, we do agree. We have seen what has happened. The police members, the POP members, as we are all aware, that are primarily used for crowd management. We have, of course, just under 5,000. We all know the figure. And the police station members, they carry only live ammunition, which, of course, we know that you only use your firearm when protecting life. So, and when your life or the life of any other person is in danger, it's only then that you use your firearm. So there can't be a circular that says to members of the police, you can't use your firearm. Members are trained, they're allowed to use their firearm when their life or the life of any other person, be their colleague or a member of the public, they are allowed to use their firearms. So in this case, well, this was more the community that came in numbers and bashed into these shops and malls. There are instances where we know that in case that then they did, members did act, some ammunition, yes, end up running short, be supplemented. And we are keeping an eye so that we supplement in case there are problems. The matter around the deployment of the SADF, they have started deploying from the total of 2005. They are building up. The approval that the president granted is 25,000. So I cannot say now there's 25,000 on the ground. Yes, definitely. But they are still building up from the lower numbers going up. So at the end of the day, the approval is for 25,000. We used our resources. We did deploy our, in KwaZulu-Natal, we had two helicopters. In Gauteng, we have two helicopters and a fixed wing that was used to patrol over the N3 up and down. Yes, N3 road was closed due to some work at Moy River. It has since been done and was closed not by us. It was closed by the relevant authorities, but we have since opened it now this morning, and it is flowing as we speak. We have used members both from national and the provinces, where we are escorting, we first started escorting your oxygen as well as the medical staff between KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. But currently now we are also getting to, we also did the fuel. Now we are getting to escort your food, your sugar, as well as your acid necessities between the two provinces. That process is starting now, that we escort between the two provinces. We have got, we established a truck hub this south of Gauteng, where we said they must establish. In KwaZulu-Natal, I also gave the instruction that they establish a truck hub where all trucks will arrive. And from there, we'll take, escort them to the various places, including your harbor. We are aware that, yes, the harbor is bottleneck, but we are now starting to open up that area. We also have to have police guarding various national key points like Wakisha Airport, the harbor. It takes a lot of manpower to do that. There's other various other industries that are containing hazardous materials that we had to also protect. We had to make choices between the more serious and less serious. Hence, we are not, we could not be at every factory and a warehouse, and that is being done both in Gauteng and KZN. Some other operations are still rolling out. We still have roadblocks that maintain the deployment of Gauteng in terms of the Disaster Management Act, but also we are now today established roadblocks, and we also made our port of entries aware that there will be goods that will be crossing out of the country going to other countries. In one of the borders in Mpumalanga, we already found a lot of clothes that were on its way to Mozambique, which we confiscated. So those operations will be continuing. And we also instituted operation to recover those stolen goods, which both two provinces, it is going quite well. And the areas where the violence started, like your hostels in Gauteng, we are also dealing with them as we go along. So we definitely using all the resources that we are having. Yes, we will take a lesson out of this as to what best can be done in the future should something like this happen. We'll definitely take a lesson and learn out of this so that we can maybe in the future be in a better position. This is an unprecedented situation that never happened before, and unfortunately it did happen, and at some point there had to be choices made in terms of which key points are to be saved and which not. So basically, I think that's the end of my response. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. We will follow up next.
General Vuma, Honorable Chairperson.
You may continue, General Vuma.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner.
Sorry, General Vuma, could we see your beautiful face, please? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thanks for the compliment, Chair.
Deputy Minister, you did not receive compliments. It was General
Vuma. I'm doing it on her behalf.
All right, good, good. Don't worry, Deputy Minister, I'll also give you a compliment.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. In trying to save time, most of the questions raised were regarding the operational environment. However, there are few concerns that were raised by members regarding the lack of ammunition during the unrest period when the members were in trying to calm the situation. I must give the comfort to the members that maybe the member might have taken a minimum number of ammunition, whether rubber or live, to the scene. However, we can safely confirm that we have sufficient ammunition that are in the stores in the South African Police Service, both live ammunition as well as the rubber bullets. There was also a concern regarding the capacity for crime intelligence. I can just give the total numbers. I have all the breakdowns of the capacity. We have in the whole country public service act members in crime intelligence environment. We have 1,531. And police act members, they are 5,474, which gives us a total of 7,005. Total capacity in the crime intelligence environment. Those were the few questions that regarding the support services environment. Maybe we can allow General Libia. There were questions that were specifically asked from the DPCI, General Libia. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable members, just another a repeat. If we cannot find flights for you for Tuesday morning, for you to be in time for the oversight visit on Tuesday in Durban, I have requested, that members then be allowed to fly in on Monday evening. So there are members who have said that they do not have flights that will get them there on time on Tuesday. So I've requested that they allow us accommodation for Monday evening and that we then, those of us, only those who are unable to get there in time on Tuesday will fly you in on Monday evening and then you'll sleep over on Monday in Durban. I also asked Dr. Kinnis, not all members have to fly in on Monday. It's only those who do not have flights where you are flying from on Monday evening, on Tuesday morning, will then fly you in on Monday. If your flights on Tuesday are too late, you'll be expected to fly in on Monday, but we'll contact you to see if this is possible for you. So please, sorry for interrupting. We'll continue until Dr. Tuli has given us additional time. And we'll also continue on Tuesday and on Wednesday. General Vuma?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I have answered my questions. I just wanted to request General Libia. There were specific questions that were asked in regard to terrorism that was specifically directed at the DPCI. General Libia, please, with your permission, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. There were four questions that were directed to the DPCI, and I will deal with those. The first one comes from the Honorable Wickfield. Talking about the crimes that have been committed, that they are committed in coordinated fashion, and whether we are dealing with our investigation in line with those type of crimes. Let me indicate that the members of the DPCI who are involved in this type of investigation are those that are in the crimes against the state, the CATS. So they are dealing with all those variety of crimes that involve crimes against the state. Part of those crimes are obviously in the POGDA-TARA legislation. That particular law deals with a variety of crimes. You have mentioned some of them. So in our investigation, what we do is we look at the acts, the conduct of individuals. And once we have looked at all of those conducts, the public prosecutor that I will be looking at, that I will at the end of the day decide what type of crime the individual needs to be charged. As an example, there is one that we are working on. We are going to be, the focus now is the incitement. Then you have got the damage to a property. Then you have got the intimidation. Some of these are based on the Riotous Assemblies Act. When that is done, at a later stage, there will be consideration as to whether the individual can be charged with a POGDA TARA. That decision obviously is taken after the National Office of the NPA have considered the fact. So I'm just highlighting that in our investigation, we look at all of the activities surrounding an individual. The second question it comes from the Honorable Imam as to when are we expecting to be effecting arrest on the 12 individuals that shall have been mentioned. We are working closely with the National Prosecuting Authority. While the meeting was going on here, two of those matters were being discussed between the investigators and the prosecutors to see what would be the way forward. So we can't give a timeline and say that by tomorrow, but we want this to be done as speedily as possible, as we can all see the urgency of this. So the matters that are currently being discussed, we shall be getting directives as to what else needs to be done. The other matters that we are working hard on them. Let me also indicate that the individuals that are involved in this, they do their activities in a coordinated way, but they don't do it in the open. So in our investigation, we understand that they do their coordinated activities, not in the open. And part of our method of investigation obviously follow those type of arrangements that we don't reveal how we do it, but we are working on those. The third question that comes from Honorable Terblanc deals with, again, the type of crimes, whether we will also be looking at the treason, the sedition, and those type of crimes. As I've indicated, yes, when we investigate, we look at the conduct. What is the act that the individual has perpetrated? And what types of crimes can this particular act be taken under? So some of the places you have got the main charge and alternative charges, if the alternative charges can be done as a competent verdict of a already a listed crime. So that is the methodology that we use in dealing with all the types of crimes that falls within the mandate of crimes against the state. I have taken note of the question of the Honorable Dr. Groenewald with regard to the effort that we do in that we seems to have not publicized the contact details of the people that those who have got information can contact. Generally, we have got every now and then when we release the media statement or when we communicate, we always publicize the contact number of the 086-000-10111. In that line, the information that is deposited there will reach us. But those that have got direct contacts, contact with the offices of the DPCI, are always welcome to do that. And on internet, there are also details that we can be reached at. But when we release the statement, we will also be publicizing other telephones number. I think that the Honorable Member will understand the crimes against the state. We are present in all the provinces, but the provincial head will be able to facilitate some of the areas where there might be difficulties. And even our communication officer at national level, when they receive this information, they are able to channel it correctly to the relevant people that are dealing with these matters of crimes against the state. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Those are the questions that were directed to the DPCI. I submit.
Thank you very much for that detailed response, General Lebia. Honorable Sheikh Imam, we've seen your message. We'll also forward your message to the National Commissioner. Could we have an indication who else will respond? General Sotole, do we have another response?
Thank you very much, Chair. We no longer have other responses, Chair. It's just by way of conclusion to say, one, I think after this particular process, after we've stabilized and normalized, we intend to put together a post-mortem report. And the post-mortem report is actually going to point out the resource implication on the security forces. And that will it will also be coming from the JCPS cluster. The need to reconsider again resourcing our responses, because I think our responses to a greater extent, they've also been handicapped by the that is the resourcing. And then I also just want to express my appreciation, because the majority of the portfolio committee members, I think they call us, they share information with us on the ground, and that assists us to coordinate the responses. But the Integrated Resource Committee under the Deputy National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Vuma, has also been activated to make sure that there's no resource constraints that arise on the ground, and we just make sure that our responses are just accurate. Thank you very much, Chair.
General Sotole, I know you weren't here when we started. Could we please get a response, even if it is from your other generals, on the question which was asked by Honorable Groenewald? I also have a concern about, if you look in the messages, about the homes and how we will attend to those who have started attacking and burning homes, moving into residential areas. And then there's also complaints from the area and from Honorable Sheikh Imam that there are areas where they still haven't seen the SANDF and where they haven't seen any deployment of police. So can we please just have a response, especially on the question of Honorable Groenewald, could indicate who should respond. I know you weren't here.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Chair. Can I ask both General Vuma and Master Mola to respond, because I did not capture the question. But just on the second question, we have assigned both our crime intelligence and again the NICOC at the National Security Council level to show us all hotspots. And yesterday, I have interacted with the defense generals who are responsible for the deployments, so that we fast track the deployments to the areas of need and where they've got resource constraints to get the soldiers there, because we hear that some of the soldiers ended up being transported by a mayor because of the resource constraints. I think we'd rather use police resources to get them there. I think, but General Masemula and General Vuma will give a more detailed response. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General Vuma and General Masemula. Can you also just indicate to us what is happening at Unit 3 in Phoenix? If you don't have a response right now, could we also get an indication where members are concerned that their phones are not being, the phones of police stations are not being answered. I've also attempted to call police stations as, and I know that we call sometimes at ridiculous hours, but we are parliamentarians and our constituencies do call us. I want to express my appreciation to those who do respond to me quite late. I'll express my appreciation at the end of this meeting. Honorable Sheikh Imam, have I covered you, or would you still like to come in?
Yeah, no, Chairperson, my concern is that the deployment you could last night, early out this morning, Dust Road, Easter Pingo, burning houses are being put. It looks like they're moving to residential.
We've lost you, Honorable Sheikh Imam. Honorable Sheikh Imam. Am I the only one who cannot hear Honorable Sheikh Imam?
We also can't hear him, Chair. He has gone underground.
All right. General Masemula and General Vuma, can you respond, please?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. There was a time when General Masemula's connectivity was giving him problems. General Masemula, there was a question regarding the harbor where the ammunition was stolen. And the honorable members wanted to know what will happen and have we recovered those ammunition. There was also a question by Dr. Sunewald with regards to the fact that we have the regulations for the implementation in terms of the lockdown level 4, where people gathered in Nkandla and they were not arrested. Honorable member wanted to know what did we do in regard to that. And there was also a question with regard to the, as are we coordinating, what coordinating structures are we having with regard to neighborhood watch, farm watches, together with some intelligence community. And there was also an emphasis on the fact that if this things can roll out into the rural areas, there will be some bloodshed. What are we going to do, or what are we going to do to prevent such? General Masemula, please. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
General Masemula, please assist me with the farm areas and the rural areas.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. With regard to the question of the ammunition, yes, there was a consignment that was plundered or got missing with ammunition. The owner did not bother to open a case or to report it. It was discovered by police when they arrested two Indian males with quite a substantial number of ammunition. And when they traced the owner, he could not really account for what exactly happened. So he's currently opening a case at one of the police stations south of Durban as we speak. And he will be further interrogated to find out exactly what is happening and so on. And we'll, of course, have to get a team to track all that ammunition that has been stolen, or what is the balance of what we recovered and what is not yet recovered. With regard to the question on the gatherings at Uganda, I should indicate that, yes, especially on a Sunday, there was such gatherings. People came in numbers, yes. And the operational commanders, people were blocked. I'm sure you might have seen that on the media. The car, the vehicles were blocked on the N2. And then at some point, a decision was made to allow the people to proceed. And they did proceed to Uganda and they gathered there. Three cases have been opened for cases at Peter Maritzburg High Court and also at Uganda, which are under investigation. And those that are responsible would be called to account. In terms of coordination of our operations, we have activated the CPF through the national body, the Business Against Crime, and we, in case it goes further to the rural areas, we will still, of course, our police stations will activate their various structures, your neighborhood watch and CPF, so that we can nip it in the bud. In Phoenix, yes, it started off as a looting, which ended up in murder of some people whose car was burnt, and it later turned out into a sort of a racial problem. And currently the SNDF, and there's Phoenix and Veruda, actually not only Phoenix. So the SNDF and the SAPS are deployed in that area to quell whatever problems that are there. We know that currently certain areas are not drivable, but we will stabilize in time. We are currently prioritizing as to what is important that we can do. So in that regard, we know, yes, certain communities' movement might be limited. There might be limitation by another community around Phoenix area. We will attend to it as soon as we have sufficient forces. Currently, we are prioritizing other areas. But the CPF has been activated to assist us. And I think those are my questions, the answers, Honorable Chair. Thanks. The acting.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner.
Honorable Sheikh Imam, you disappeared.
No, Chair, yeah. No, I've heard the responses, Chair, and I'm still not getting that one answer that I'm concerned. Just to allay the fears of the community, there is anticipation that this is going, and it started already in residential areas. They just want an assurance now that the National Commissioner is here as well, that yes, the troops and the police and the troops are still not visible there. They are going to be deployed in all, and or at least in the exits and entrances of all these townships to ensure that it doesn't go to the residential areas. Remember, we were caught wanting in terms of what has happened. We don't want to be found in a similar position when they hit the residential areas. Now, that is all I'm pleading to ensure that we protect the residential areas from any more violence and looting and things and destruction. Thank you, Jefferson.
Thank you very much. General Sotole and Deputy Minister. Could you give me the number of SANDF soldiers that we have on the ground? How soon we'll have more SANDF soldiers on the ground? And then the women and children, I'm particularly concerned about the women and children, where women are taken into custody and their children are left behind. In some instances, the women were arrested while their children were in the area and the children were left crying. So, honourable members, I'm going to be closing the meeting quite soon. As I said, you'll have an opportunity to ask questions again on Tuesday and on Wednesday. We'll get the logistics of our travelling arrangements before we leave today. General Sithole, Deputy Minister, before we close, could you just assist me with the numbers of the SANDF soldiers that are on the ground?
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I think the numbers of the SANDF that is across the country, General Masemola will just give them in terms of that order, in terms of the total. I just wanted to confirm an instruction that goes to both General Masemola and the provincial commissioner. I have called him now. The instruction to deploy at Phoenix and where the communities are on an outcry, as I have indicated by the honourable that is member, and further to that, an instruction that goes to FCS. FCS, we are now giving them an instruction to coordinate and work together with social development, and then to give attention to the issue of the children as well as the women who might have been taken in leaving the children that is outside. So a collective shall then be dealt with between the two, and this matter is going to be escalated to NAP joints. With your permission, Chair, General Masemola can give the numbers on the defense on the ground. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson and members, the SANDF, the approval was for 2,500, and we started having numbers ramping up in terms of 100, 200. Yesterday, the approval was extended to 25,000. But yesterday, the SANDF confirmed that on the ground, they have 6,000, about 400. But they are building up towards 25,000. So those are the figures that I got from the SANDF, that on the ground, for now, in all provinces, not only in KZN, all provinces in the country, is 6,500. I must also mention, Honorable Chair, that in Limpopo, the SANDF assisted us quite a lot around the areas of Akonu and as well as Denelti, where the Mpumalanga residents were feeling not to loot in their province, but they want to go and loot in Limpopo. So the joint forces were able to quell and disperse those groupings, and they went back because there was no clear explanation why so many cars are going to other province. Thanks very much, Honorable.
Thank you very much. Deputy Minister, we're rounding up now. We have 10 minutes left.
Lord Chair, thanks very much. Much appreciated. You know, we always say that interacting with the portfolio committee is quite enriching. And we always look forward to further engagement with you. And we believe working with the committee, we will be able to respond to the challenges confronted by our country and the police in particular and the security forces in general. These are unprecedented moments in the history of our country. This, I believe, is the first experience, and I am convinced it will be the last.
where we deal with a situation of this magnitude. This was not a small matter. It's a matter involving a former head of state and having to ensure that the law is respected by all. We had to act in the manner in which we did as the country. And of course, there has been a fallout which we are dealing with. And I'm confident that under the leadership of the president and the cabinet, together with all South Africans, we will be able to overcome the challenges before us. And we are of the view that the future of this country is in the hands of all South Africans, and that acting together as a people, we shall overcome and will ensure that we bring back South Africa into the center, wherein we can confidently talk of a growth trajectory which will address the ills that our country has experienced because of the legacy of apartheid. You can see in the disruptions that took place, the communities that have been who have been at the center of this unrest are mainly the disadvantaged communities, particularly within the most oppressed and the most exploited of our country. And clearly, it is important that as we deal with these issues, it should not only be about security consideration, but we must also address the bread and butter issues facing our people. The unemployment, the level of poverty that has made it possible for criminal elements to exploit the situation our people find themselves in. If we don't address ourselves to that, we will experience issues, incidences of this kind. And this should be a lesson to everybody that we need to deal with the economic inequalities in our country and deal with the apartheid legacy that we are living today to ensure that when we talk of a better life, indeed all South Africans experience this better life. And when we have challenges that we are supposed to deal with, nobody must exploit the living conditions of our people and the circumstances that our people find themselves in. We will only be able to win if we ensure we address these legacies. We have done what is possible. We could have done more, as we have said in the beginning, Chair. But we look forward to working together with all South Africans to defeat this enemy that is threatening our democracy. Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks, National Commissioner and the team, for the work you have done so far. There is much more that still needs to be done. Let's go back to the drawing board as the South African police, men and women in blue, to ensure that we make our country the pride of the continent and the world to look at. We must not be a laughingstock. Thank you very much, Chair, and members of the committee for this moment.
Thank you very much, Honourable Deputy Minister. Honourable Deputy Minister and General Sithole, we do not want you to respond now, but when we do see you on Tuesday, could you please give us a briefing on the members' concern, and there's also something in the media about 1.5 million rounds of ammunition which was stolen during the rampant looting. The bullets are understood to have been imported by the SNDF, but this cannot be confirmed. So could we get a report on that? It's quite a serious matter. And then they said that this was a container at a depot in Mobeni, south of Durban. Can we get that? It's quite a dangerous situation. If I receive responses from General Sithole, I'll also put it on the members group. Could all members please be ensure that you are on the members group? those members who are alternates, I've also requested them that they make arrangements for you, and I've requested that you be granted a budget to travel and be on the oversight visit as well. So just bear with me. That is why I've been leaving the meeting to assist with the budget. I would also like our alternates to be in the meeting or on the oversight visit, because we'll also have a meeting of the committee after we've done our oversight visits. So it's not as if we're just going to do an oversight and not have a discussion or a briefing. The staff, we do need our alternating members on the oversight visit. Could we arrange that budget, please? General Sotole, could your team please stay so that you can have some idea, Deputy Minister, of the oversight visit, and so that you can prepare for us for Tuesday and for Wednesday. Dr. Kinis, could you just give us a briefing on the arrangements and the draft program, just so that General Sotole and his team have an idea of what will happen on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we are, can I just give the names on Monday? It seems as if everybody is traveling on Monday, according to Mr. Lobby. We have yourself, Dr. Groenewald, and Ms. Honorable Linda Moss traveling from Cape Town on Monday evening. We will find the times and the flight details. It will be sent to you by Mr. Lobby. And then Honorable Peacock will be traveling from Sishen in the Northern Cape. Mr. Shembeni from Mpumalanga. Mr. Whitfield from Gqeberha. Mr. Terblanche and Ms. Patrain from George. And then Ms. Molekwa and Mr. Mapatswe will meet us in Johannesburg. They will not be traveling. And then Honorable Sheikh Imam will meet us in KZN. He will not be traveling to Johannesburg. So he will be with the delegation. What we intend to do on Monday, Chair, on Tuesday morning, is to travel together with the, hopefully, and possibly we haven't received the response yet, with the Premier of the province, the Chairperson of the Standing Committee, of the legislature will probably join us to travel to the Provincial Commissioner's office, where we will be receiving a briefing from the National Commission and the Provincial Commissioner. And we've also invited the Minister to be there. After that briefing with the committee in terms of what's going on in the province, we will probably be escorted by the police to some of the hotspot areas. One of it is the hospital that they attempted to burn down in Westville. We would like the committee also to go to Phoenix to interview some of the people that are starting these self-defense units, the CPFs and neighborhood watches that are working with the police. And then lastly, to Umlazi to look at some of the malls that have been damaged there, Chair. We have spoken to Mr. Sheikh Imam, who's got concerns about the level of this devastation. Then on, we fly out on Tuesday evening to Johannesburg, where the members will be accommodated. And on Wednesday morning, we at the same time meet the provincial commissioner in Gauteng, where we will receive a briefing, and we will go to Maponya Mall, to one or two hospital areas and to one or two hotspot areas where the malls have been damaged, and also to areas in Johannesburg where the communities are mobilizing to protect their malls. Chair, I've spoken to Mr. Mapatswe as far as that's concerned for the Johannesburg leg of the visit. I think that is where we are at, and then the committee will debrief, and that will be the end of the visit. We will be joined on this visit, if I'm correct, by Mr. Frolic, the House Chairperson, and we haven't received confirmation yet, but the Chief Whip will also join us. An invitation has been extended to the Chief Whip as well to join us on the visit to KZN. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Kinnis. I note Honorable Faku's end. Honorable Faku, we are especially looking at the alternates, so please do not be concerned. Honorable Whoop Mapatsu, if your member, Honorable Patrain, is not going to be there, can you please inform us? We'll offload her because there are many alternate members, Honorable Majozi, Honorable Faku, and Honorable Meshu, that I can accommodate that with that budget. The last time Honorable Patrain did not send an apology, and that was fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Honorable Mapatsu, I'm saying this in a public meeting because we are tired of wasting money and wasting our effort and our time. Honorable members, do you still have questions about your traveling arrangements? We'll take it offline. We are now going, we're ending the meeting. Honorable Deputy Minister, General Satole, General Huma, General Masimola, thank you very much. There's a noise. Can you mute your mic, please? General Reed, General Khan, I can go through the list. General Satole and Deputy Minister, these are generals, brigadiers, we can call generals, Colonel Stein. I can call him in the middle of the night. Please convey our gratitude. General Reed, General Khan, Lieutenant General Vuma, Lieutenant General Nsalia, Lieutenant General Dimpande, please send to Mule, Masimola, I've said Sitlabani, Peters. I am mentioning you by name because I've been calling you late at night, sergeants, deputy. The deputy commissioners, provincial commissioners, I have called them. I know I'm a difficult person to work with, so I apologize. If members send me questions, I try to respond immediately. Thank you very much to our staff. Babawa and Sutu are ill. Nicolette was looking for numbers for me late last night. We had to assist Honorable Faku. Dr. Kinnis, our new staff member that will help us, Pilot Gwebi, those whose names I haven't mentioned, Deputy Minister and National Commissioner, can you please convey our condolences to the family? I did release a press statement on the tragic passing of General Mfazi. He will be surely missed. Please convey our condolences to the minister and General Satole. Can you please convey our appreciation and our gratitude to the men and women in blue? They are our frontline workers. They are our first line of defense. And despite the difficulties, the weaknesses, and the challenges, they are doing a sterling job. We'll take your arrangements, as I said, offline. The alternates, I would like you to be there because we will be engaging on discussions. It is not just an oversight meeting. It's also we're going down to grassroots level and we'll also be engaging with the provincial and deputy provincial commissioners. And it's important that we all be there. Those who cannot be there, please send your apologies well in time. I do understand if there's unforeseen circumstances. The last time I was exposed to someone who was COVID-19 and I had to apologize, but we do not want fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Dr. Tuli, thank you very much for assisting us. You had to work through the night to get me this meeting. I'd also like to thank the House Chair and the Chief Whip. In their absence, I called them late at night, early in the morning, to ensure that we could have these meetings. Honorable members of the Police Portfolio Committee, I'm sure that you realize that your recess is over. I shall be calling regular meetings. Next week, 2 days oversight. Following week, more meetings. You will understand that this is our recess period, but it's important that this committee does exercise its oversight role over SAPS and over the executive. With that, Deputy Minister, National Commissioner and your team, honourable members, thank you very much for your participation. Your inputs have been very extremely valuable and it has surely enriched the work of our sector. SAPS happens to be our family and this is the time for us to join hands as a SAPS family and as a portfolio committee. Yes, like all families, we do have difficulties. We are angry, but this is not the time for us as a committee to be angry. This is the time for us to give support and to give direction and to lead as leaders as from Parliament. I wish to thank you then. The meeting is closed.
Thank you, Chair.
Long live the Chairperson.
Long live the